Good evening, America. Welcome to another edition of the Venture Club Podcast. I am John Jay.
And I'm Guy Hutchinson, and I am so excited to talk to you, John Jay.
Yes, it's been a while since our Halloween spectacular. Expectacular.
That was, that was a fantastic episode, though.
It was especially expectacular.
I literally just woke up from that hangover.
I'm starting to wake up from that.
We have a fantastic show ahead of us. We've got our favorite guest, and we have had phenomenal guests. And I know if you're listening and it's not you, I'm sorry. You're our second favorite guest, whoever. Bernie Coppell, if you're listening, you're number two. But we've got Kathleen Seltz on the show, and this woman is just phenomenal. She's awesome. She's powerful. She's funny. She's sexy. She's fantastic.
She embodies the whole idea of what Adventure Club is. It's an adventure.
That's right. And she's going to tell us she came back from Oz. She was out there in Australia. And we'll see if she met a kangaroo, kissed a crocodile. See what she did. Something
we'll
exciting.
She ran to Paul Hogan.
That's right. And you, John Jay, are on your way on a trip soon.
On an adventure.
Where are you going?
I'm going to Disney World.
My favorite place.
And that's not a cliche either. Well, I guess it is.
It is. But it's my favorite place. I love it. I just came back from there about 2 months ago. I'm planning on going in the next 3 months. I just love it there. It is just
I just hope awesome. The rapture doesn't happen while I'm there. Well, maybe I do.
Yeah, I don't know. The rapture, we are getting the end of days is beating down upon us. What is the date on that? Is that the 21st?
That's the 21st, and I will be in Disney World on the 21st.
Oh, man, we're all going to start floating up to the sky.
Screw that. I'm staying at Disney World.
Oh, I'm telling you, just hold on tight to Mr. Toad and don't let go. Actually, there is no Mr. Toad there anymore.
Oh, no?
Yeah, Mr. Toad's only in California.
I've never been on Mr. Toad.
Well, yeah, you can't. Not there. That was the better Mr. Toad. So tell me about the videos you've been putting on online. I want to talk about the videos that you've been uploading from Comic-Con. I want to talk about every
other. Yeah, New York Comic-Con. I mean, it feels like it was a century ago, and I guess it kind of was. But a few weeks ago, I got back and I received the video footage that was recorded by 1185 Films for the soon to be released documentary about how Adult Swim is awesome. I don't know how soon, but stay tuned for that. Mm-hmm. But they were shot and they were gracious enough to shoot them. And they were awesome. They were expectedly, I don't even know how to put it.
Where do people go to see it?
You can go to AdultSwimCentral.com.
Right, very good.
It's a website.
And tell me about the video that, not the one that you're in, but the one with urine.
Okay, so I was hanging out in Long Island last weekend with our friend Mr. Mike Staub, mm-hmm. who we've had on the show, and his girlfriend Amanda. And she was in a play for Christmas, but apparently one of her co-stars?
Sure.
Was watching a video, and basically it went viral within our ranks, all our friends out in Long Island, and eventually I spread it like wildfire, as I usually do with the videos. So it's on my Facebook wall about 500 times. It's on Twitter. And essentially what I can say is it's from the 1980s. It's like one of those Ed Sullivan type shows, I guess.
Okay.
Where this group called the Kelly family, they're like a Dutch, Irish, Scotch, German family from Spain.
Okay.
And the youngest son, Angelo, FYI, a dude, because he does have long hair and a braid, so lest anyone think that was a girl singing it, is singing that he promises not to pee-pee the bed tonight.
Wow. So this was – what is this? The Gong Show? What was this?
I don't even think it was the Gong Show. I don't know what it was. It was just one of those television programs in like the UK or like Germany or somewhere.
Interesting.
And it's this he couldn't have been, I would say, between 8 and 10 years old, singing, "Ain't gonna peep in my bed tonight."
That's pretty awesome.
I showed it to my aunt. She was oblivious until I showed it to her a second time. She's like, "I thought they were singing in Dutch."
Oh, dear almighty. I love that internet, though, I'll tell you. I have been I've been enjoying a lot of YouTube lately. You know what I really liked was the Thanksgiving Day Parade from Macy's. I watched it, and I kind of missed a lot of stuff. And I found that when I went on YouTube, you type in Macy's Parade and then see what was uploaded in the past week. And it's like, oh, there was a woman that fell down. I missed this part. Oh, this guy was mouthing the words poorly. Let me watch that. It's like all the bloopers rise to the surface. So let's kick things off, John Jay. Why don't you throw it and we'll get started.
All right, let's do this. Let's go podcast.
All right, we have a fantastic guest on the line, a returning guest, the supervising producer of Rooster Teeth Production. You know her as Tex, Kathleen Zelch. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing great.
Oh, man, you've been traveling the world. You're a cosmopolite.
Oh, my God. Yes, I have. Can I just tell you, I still don't know quite what day it is of the week. When you travel to Australia, you lose time and you become 10 years younger and then you come back like rejuvenated. It's pretty cool, actually.
All right. It's right now. It's December 7th. When did you come back?
I came back on the 23rd of November.
That's tough. You came back right after Thanksgiving?
I did. And you know what? I stopped through Los Angeles for the last 5 days so I could have Thanksgiving with my family. And unfortunately, it was about 3 days of jet lag. And so everybody's like, "Where's Kath?" My mom was like, "Yeah, she's in bed." It's terrible.
Back us up. Let's hear this whole story. So who went out there? You guys were going to what? Is this Supernova?
Supernova. And it was Chris Damaris, me, and Carrie Shawcross. And now, so Carrie worked on Red versus Blue with me. He did compositing and visual effects. And he's a 21-year-old with a lot of ambition. And I feel like a mom to him. And I'm very proud of him. And then Chris has been with Rooster Teeth for, I think, about a year and a half. And he's a very talented director. He directed the latest show, The Gauntlet, co-directed with Brandon. And but Chris, so the three of us, we started this journey, and we got along great, I have to tell you. But it was amazing because, see, we were guests at the Supernova, and it started in Brisbane, and not to be confused with Brisbane, because that will show the ignorance on the American part if you see that. But what was ironic, here's the thing. We get there, and at the airport, they kind of corralled us with the other, in quotes, guests. And the other guests were like Luke Perry and Malcolm Jamal Warner and Sandra, who played Elvira, and Tom Felton from Harry Potter. And so, you know, we're sitting there like, oh, wow. Kind of like, this is cool, but, you know, don't be a tourist. Don't be a tourist. This is good. You know, we're in the same, you know, vehicle as these people. And, we are all kind of like a little bit in awe. I mean, I always get in awe of people. You know what I mean? It's always fun to be with somebody that you watched on TV for the longest time and you're kind of, yeah.
Did you make small talk?
Okay. Not on the first ride. What we did is we took it all in, listened to see who was cool and who was a little full of himself and who was like, you know, going to be fun to hang out with. Like, you know, you got to just kind of play it a little bit. And then we got to the hotel, and we had one day in Brisbane to just kind of do our own thing, which was beautiful. It's a lot like California. I mean, Australia is a lot like California across the board. Just the climate and the way it looks, the newness. I mean, it's a very new country, so honestly, it has, you know, it just really has that vibe. But they all have that weird accent, so whatever. But right. So the first day of the con, we have an amazing distributor there. It's Hanabi, and they do all of our DVDs for Australia, and they also do stuff in Japan. And Eric Cherry is the president of it, and he's fantastic. And so he picked us up and, you know, brought us to the con. And basically what happens is you go to the green room, and everybody that's a guest of the convention goes to the green room. And so everybody's trying it. I felt like I was in high school. So it was like the popular kids were like over to one side of the room. And then some of the other people were like over to the other side of the room. And so Carrie and Chris and I, I'm like, you guys, we're the bomb. So just, you own the place, right? Like walk around here, like you own it. And I immediately went up to Elvira and started talking to her, Cassandra, who I immediately hit. She's a great lady. I mean, I grew up watching her, the movie Macabre. And it was like, I sat there kind of fangirl, but, you know, holding it together. And it was, it was her first time there. So, you know, she's a real down to earth person. And so we actually got along really well and, you know, kind of, just about some of the people that, you know, some people take themselves pretty serious and, you know, you kind of have to, it's like, okay, well, have some more fun.
But you got a dish for us. Who is it? Who is it that takes themselves seriously?
Okay, let me get into it more, and then I'll. No, so we sat at our, we had a booth. Hanabi has a Rooster Teeth booth, and we got a chance to just sit and autograph and pictures. And we had one incident where a fan came to. They would take pictures. They'd come around behind and, you know, take pictures behind us. And this one kid came up to Chris and licked his face at the end of the picture.
What?
I was looking to the right, like we were all looking to the right of the camera, and all of a sudden, because Chris was sitting to my left, and I hear him say, "Oh my God, that kid licked my face." And I'm like, "Well, he's lucky he didn't lick my face because I would have hit him. I'm sorry." But it was one of those moments when we didn't know what to say or do. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, I just looked at him, I said, "You go in the bathroom and you wash your face right now." It was so gross.
That's so weird.
It was really weird. And the kid walked away, like, pumping his fist, like, "I just licked his face!" You know? No, it was pretty bad. So, but we did some panels in both Brisbane and Adelaide. And it was pretty cool. It was like, you know, it was nice to, they're very, very humbling fans, because they're, you know, they're like, "Thank you for coming to Australia." And we're like, "My God, you know, would we not come to Australia? I mean, this is fantastic." So I have to say, I think that the fans in Australia are a lot more gracious, and except for the guy that licked his face.
Well, now, so explain this to me. Where is Brisbane from the Adelaide? What's the difference between the two? I know that's a very big continent.
It's a huge continent. And here, I'll give you perspective. So we were in Brisbane, and then we had a 4-day break, and I went to Perth to visit some friends. So Brisbane's like the East Coast, say like New York, and then Perth is like California, and then Adelaide would be like Texas.
Okay, wow.
So I flew, when we finished up the Brisbane event, I left the Monday morning like at 7 a.m. and flew over to Perth, and Perth was where I got to meet up with some people that I had met about 2 years ago in Hawaii. And it was this amazing family that said, "If you're ever in Australia, we'll take care of you if you get to Perth." So, you know, we've kept in touch, and I went, and I got to tell you, it was amazing. They have a pet kangaroo, you know, it's like, okay, this is interesting. I got to, you know, bottle feed this little pet kangaroo. They told me the story how they found it. It was like roadkill. The mother kangaroo had been hit, and they pulled over and they checked the pouch, and they actually pulled the Joey, the little baby kangaroo, out, who was still alive, and they bottle fed him, and now he's 6 years old and he's a family pet.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I know, it was really cool. But
what's the temperament of a kangaroo though? I always hear that they'll punch you.
No, there's different types. There's the red kangaroo that's like built like Arnold Schwarzenegger, and it'll take you out. Like, it's so strong, and it has a swipe with all like the claws on the bottom feet would just gut you. But just like a regular brown kangaroo, they're like a dog, very sweet, very docile, and very, he came up to us when we were in the cage. You know, it's a big pen, and he just kind of laid there, and I pet his head like I would a dog, and he was kind of like, this is the best thing ever. Just keep, you know, petting me. I love this. But you could see the strength in his tail and his bottom leg. Like, you know, I was like, if he wanted to fuck me up, I think he could. I'm not going to mess with him. But we taught, the first day I got there, I said, I know that your country has very big spiders and very icky poisonous snakes. And they're like, oh, Kath, well, we don't see them here, Kath. We're in the house. You know, suburbs, they don't have those big snakes. And I'm like, yeah, okay, well, that's cool. Well, you know, but I've heard about them. Like, yeah. They're like, don't worry about it. Very next day, take me into they have a garage. And Rob, he's a car collector and was going to show me his amazing Lamborghini and his Ferrari. So we go out to this garage, and he takes the cover off the Lamborghini, and I go in with my camera to take a picture, and I look down, and there is a probably 6 by 6 inch huntsman spider.
Ooh. Ooh.
Yes. And the huntsman spider, if you look it up, they jump. They run faster than, like, most people. And I thought I was going to have a heart attack. I mean, honest to God, I thought I was going to have a heart attack. And I screamed like some crazy, you know, like, I don't know, out of Psycho movie. I was like, hi, hi, hi. Ran out of the garage. And they're like, oh, my God. You know, and they ran over, and they put his towel over it. And then they brought it out. And I said, Rob, what'd you do with the spider? And he's like, oh, cat. I got so frustrated. I was like flustered because you're screaming. I killed it. Yeah. So, and I guess normally you have to do like a flamethrower thing to kill those spiders. But anyway, so while I
was there, wait. So you have to like set them on fire?
Yeah, they don't.
Like aliens.
You look it up on the internet. I tell you, you're going to be grossed out. And they said that the bite, it's not poisonous, but it's very painful because the fact that it's like, you know, a 6 inch big spider. And so, at the end, the ironic thing was, the wife came to me at the end of the day, and she said her husband, who's like 49 years old, has, you know, lived there his whole life, came to her and said, I got to tell you, that's the biggest fucking spot I've ever seen in my life. I'm like, okay, thank you for showing yourself while I'm here. And then, of course, they had 3 poisonous snakes on the property when I was there.
Of course. So I saw some pictures of you with a gun T-shirt on and a gun in your hand.
Oh my God, that's Rooster Teeth. That is the Tex shirt that they made, Texas. It's that was for some merchandise we have in Rooster Teeth on the site.
Now, can people get this for Christmas?
Oh God, I hope they do. Yeah, they definitely.
What is the address?
It is www.roosterteeth.com, and go to the store, and they should buy the Texas shirt only because it's so badass, of course. And yes, we have all the freelancer states. We have Florida, Texas, and there's another one. I can't think of the name. Nice. It's Carolina. Carolina's there too.
That's awesome. I was just telling Guy before the show that every time I walk into Best Buy, I see the collection of Red versus Blue box set.
It's pretty amazing, huh?
Yeah. Everybody's got to pick it up. I mean, this is the time of year. People have to wrap things up and give them away. It's a perfect gift.
You're right.
So I want to hear about the convention. So you went out there for the convention. What was the convention itself like? The
convention was amazing. Supernova, these people have it going on. First of all, the people that – the exhibitors are very diverse. And there's a lot of stuff that I don't see in the States, which is what I really enjoyed. And I bought a lot of toys. And I think that's just probably from licensing. So it's, you know, it's a smaller scale. Adelaide was the first time that they had it in Adelaide. And I was really excited to be a part of that. And I talked to the people from Adelaide. It was a very interesting city because when you come in, it's this big, it's very square. And when I talked to them about that, they said that, and this is what's so ironic about being this country being so new, they said, well, Adelaide's one of the newest cities, and it was created to be square. Now, check this out, because it was kind of sad. They're like, in case that there ever be attacked, people could go and gravitate to the middle of, you know, the city, and they could be, like, looking outward. And I was like, wow, that's kind of morbid. But
they could lock it down if they needed to.
But they were really happy because they said a lot of things come to Adelaide, but then if it gets popular enough, then it goes to Melbourne. So it wasn't the biggest of cons, but I think for their first one, they did really well. And I mean, we had John DiMaggio, who is a voice actor.
Oh, right.
And Billy West, who, of course, they became our best friends because we're just real people. And Carrie and Chris were so excited because – well, Carrie was super excited because he's a very big fan of John's and Billy. And so I said, dude, you just walk up. You just start talking to him. And before you know it, by the end of the con, we were kind of there. We waited in line to get their autograph. And they were like, oh, my God, you guys, why'd you do this? But you know, it was just kind of endearing. And they wound up taking a lot of pictures. And we were kind of the cool kids because people realized, wow, you know, they're just – I don't know. We're just real. So we had a really good time with that. And I have to say that I would go back in a heartbeat because they, you know, it was a really well run con. And I know they have a bunch of them there. They have them in different cities, but they know how to take care of people. And I think that's like the best thing, you know, it's like, you're not run ragged, put it that way. You know,
I have two questions for you because I've never been there. Number one, what was the best thing you ate there? And number two, what souvenirs did you bring home?
Okay. The souvenirs for my son, I brought him a kangaroo scrotum.
Oh, jeez. Wait a minute. Was the kangaroo, was he upset when you took it?
Well, they didn't show me pictures of it being written. But no, it's like this little pouch purse and it's like, genuine kangaroo scrotum. And I have to think hard to get something my son will actually appreciate. And I also brought him a boomerang because that's another big thing for the Aborigines, I guess, that they do all kinds of like artwork and stuff. So that was, I was kind of like, this is cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then the best thing that I ate, let me think. You know, can I tell you, that was my biggest question to them was, what is really Australian? But I think my funnest night was in Perth when the family I stayed with did a whole traditional Aussie barbecue. And it was...
Oh, nice.
It was chock full of, you know, large amounts of meat and, you know, stuff that I don't know if I wanted to know what I was eating, but it was, you know, it was like really, really yummy. So, but other than that...
Did you eat kangaroo?
I would not do it. No.
You wouldn't eat it?
I didn't have the opportunity, but they eat that, just so you know.
Oh, sure. Yeah, no, from what I understand, it's like a deer.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's a lot of them. They hit them with their cars. They're plentiful.
That's their roadkill, which
right.
is like, yeah, exactly. So, but I was like, no, I didn't have the opportunity. I don't know if I could have. I mean, that's a hard thing. And then the other thing would be the crocodile. I didn't eat any of that. I didn't have a chance to, but... Like, I don't know. They got me one day, though, because I was down by one of the water bays that they do, and I was, you know, like touching the water, and all of a sudden they're like, hey, watch out for the crocodiles. I was like, holy shit, you know, and they're like, oh, we're just kidding. And I'm like, you suckers, I hate you right now. it was beautiful. And I think here's the fun part I want to tell you guys, because I know I talked to you guys in the past about some of the voice people that I worked with way long time ago.
Right.
Well, Luke Perry was one of those people.
Oh, really?
And so I worked with him. And so when we were in Brisbane, I was trying to be all cool. I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to approach him or anything like that. But they had a VIP night and they had everybody, you know, go to this thing and people bought special tickets. So we, you know, people could talk to them. Well, I became the matchmakers to all the people that bought those VIP tickets. Meet like James Marsden or Marsden. He was from Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Oh, right, right.
Mm-hmm.
Wink, wink. I'm a star person. Remember we talked about that later? Okay. Okay, so I'm like find these women. They'd be like, oh, we just want to see so-and-so. So I'd be like, come with me. And I'd go over and I'd say, hey, James, they really want to meet you. And I'd pair these people up because, I mean, you know, they paid a lot of money to be able to mingle and get pictures and stuff like that. So anyways, I walked up to Luke and I said, you and I worked together about, you know, 19 years ago or whatever. I don't know. Maybe 15, 16 years ago. And I said, I have a story. And I said, I'll tell you when we get to Adelaide. And he goes, oh, God, really have to wait till Adelaide? Like now? Yeah. I said, yeah, no, we'll wait to Adelaide. So finally, when we, you know, we're in Adelaide, and I said, here's the story. I said, I worked at a recording studio. It was called Scream Music. You and the guys from 90210 were doing a lot of voiceover. And I said, we had to do a phone patch. You were in another state. I was at Scream Music. And long story short, when the engineer on your side said who was working, you had asked, oh, who from Scream Music is working? And you said, and he said, oh, it's Kathleen. You said, oh, she's cute. And I told the story because I was like, dude, you made my life at that point. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, my God. And he's like, oh, my God, Kathleen, I'm so sorry. He's like, it wasn't inappropriate. It was fantastic. Are you kidding me? But anyways, it was kind of it was weird, like full circle. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. But that must have been something you could brag about. This is a guy whose poster was on every girl's wall, and you know, and he said you were cute. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's how I felt. So when I told him the story, you know, and it was just kind of like, he was all like, "Hey, I didn't," you know, like, "Whoa, whoa," you know, and but it was for me, it was like a moment of, I don't know, it was like, I've arrived. I get to tell the story. Actually, happened to. And then my one moment that was really kind of fun was in Adelaide. It was the last day we were getting ready to leave, and Elvira, Cassandra, and him were talking, and I could see, and I was sitting, I was just sitting at one of the chairs that they had, and I could say, I could see they were looking at me, and she's like, "We're talking about you," and I was like, "Oh," I said, "What are you?" "Okay, yeah, my ear's burning." She's, "No, no," she goes, "We just, you know, you have a really good, like, soul. Like, we just, you're a good person," kind of thing. And it made me feel, because it was like, there definitely were enough people there to make you feel not that way. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so it kind of made me feel like, okay, they get me. You know, I mean, I'm here, I'm having a good time, and it's just about having a good time. So that was kind of like one of those moments. But, so that was cool. And then Carrie and Chris and I had shared some wine with Tom. It's Felton, right? Felton?
I believe so.
Some of his fans brought him wine, and so he was sharing it with people, and we were like, yeah, you know. He's a really nice guy, too, you know? And then we met Alvin, who was also in Harry Potter. He was one of the guests, and he was a really... there was just so many, you know what I mean? It was like, I felt like I was at camp with adults. Honestly, you know, he'd be bussed back forth, and it was just kind of like, oh, okay, we're, you know, here we go now. We're going to, you know, going to this event. And then the other person who was there that I was kind of like, wow, but then she was very quiet. You know, I mean, she's in Homeland now, so, you know, I guess maybe she's a little more of a movie star than everybody else, but was the girl from Serenity, Marina Barakian or something like that. She was... Remember Serenity with the, she had beautiful dark hair and it was all.
Right. I think so.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
She's in Homeland now and she plays the wife of the redhead guy. And so she was there and, you know, it was kind of like, and her husband was there. It was kind of neat that, you know, you get to see people in their real life going, well, okay, well, that's cool. You know, they have a relationship that they value and they bring their spouse. And even though the spouse is kind of behind the scenes, I think that's, it's kind of cool to see, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
What's next on your plate? What do you have another one of these coming up?
God, are you ready? Are you ready for this?
I'm ready. I'm sitting down.
I'm ready.
So basically right now, I have the next 2.5 weeks to plot out all of the production for Rooster Teeth. And so we have, and I've been working from home because there's a lot of activity. We've been, you know, we're finishing up the gauntlet, and that's a lot. And so it's pretty loud editorial, but we're talking all of it. We have the Ruby, we have RVB 11, we have Day 5, we're going to do a bunch of shorts this year. kind of go old school with the office shorts the way we did in the past. So my role now is to plot production. But, you know, with that, it takes a lot. I mean, it's not only scheduling, it's budgeting, it's, you know, making sure we have resources and figuring out who all those people are. So I'm really excited about Ruby. It's going to be pretty cool. And then we have a couple, some girl gaming things that we're going to bring to the table. Yes, I'm very excited about. So, yeah, it's I'm busy. Everybody else is like, oh, okay. But you know what? I'm in my element. I love it. I can do it from home because it's all computer. It's in my head. I have to just sit and do spreadsheets. And so I love that. But I'm going to go home to L.A. for Christmas and, you know, enjoy the family and then start 2013 with, you know, whole bunch of badass taking no prisoners.
Nice. Very, very awesome. Well, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. It's awesome to talk to you.
First, tell me though, what are you going to do for the holidays? Are you guys in New York the whole time?
No, John, we're both in New Jersey, so we can see New York, but we're not actually in it. No, I'm going to be here. I'm going to see my family, both my wife's side of the family and my side of the family, and, you know, have a fantastic time.
That's really cool.
And John Jay?
Yeah, I'm headed to my first time in Florida, going to Disney World.
Oh, my God, I'm so jealous because they just opened up.
The new Fantasyland.
Yes.
Really?
So are you're a Disney fan?
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've got a lot of good stories, like the behind stuff.
Ooh, they let you behind the gates? They let you underground?
Yeah. Ooh. Really good stuff there that actually, yeah, if you guys are Disney fans, then at some point we'll have to have a Disney conversation. So
We will. Well, you enjoy the night. And again, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. We'll talk to you in 2013, I'm sure.
Good holidays.
Take care.
Happy holidays. Take it easy.
All right. Bye, guys.
All right, we're going to go to the phones now. Actually, it's Skype, but it's another wonderful guest on the line. We've got Greg McNaughton of Mice Cast, also of The Hub, an expert in all things Disney. Greg McNaughton, how you doing tonight?
Pretty good, and thanks for not keeping me, you know, waiting too long in the green room. I appreciate that. You know, I've got, you know, things to do. People see all that good stuff.
How are things out there in California? I miss California when the winter comes here in New Jersey.
I bet. It's actually been foggy in my area by the beach for the last couple days. We had rain for about a week before that. But, you know, compared to, you know, what's happened on the East Coast, I think we're doing pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Boy. Oh, dear.
We're surviving.
When was the last time you were out at one of the Disney parks?
Ah, God, that's almost embarrassing. You know, since work has been thin and I don't have my annual pass anymore, it's probably been 4 or 5 months.
But have you been to Downtown Disney, or do you just avoid Anaheim totally?
That's a good thing to do, actually. But no, I've been kind of busy. I went back to school again, and I do a little consulting here and there. So I just haven't had time. I was going on Friday nights to the Trader Sam's Enchanted Tiki Bar, meeting up with Paul Berry and some other people every Friday. But I kind of got out of that habit when you can't afford to buy Disney drinks.
It's taking out a mortgage on those. Paul Berry's great. He does, what is that, Window to the Magic, or what is
the name? Window to the Tragic, yeah.
That's what it's called, right?
No. Yeah, Window to the Magic. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, he's good. I like him. I've listened to him quite a bit. He does a lot of audio. Like, if you're interested in hearing audio from Disney, he has a lot of it on there.
Yeah, that's kind of his angle is audio. He's real big into the audio.
That Trader Sam sounds freaking awesome.
It is pretty cool. I will say that. It could be bigger, but it is pretty cool.
I want to know this. If you were in Whittier, could you hear the fireworks from Disneyland?
Well,
how far out do they go? You can't hear them where you are.
Yes, believe it or not, I can.
Oh, my God.
Really?
I can almost set my clock by hearing the fireworks. Now, you know, if you didn't know what you were hearing, you might wonder what's that noise. I mean, it's not real loud, but there are concussion sounds that I can pick up, and all I got to do is look at the clock. I'm like, okay, that's fireworks.
Yeah, no, well, now where you are down there in Orange County, it's not gunfire. If you're in L.A. and you think you hear the Disneyland fireworks.
Yeah, well, Whittier's not exactly L.A.
No, it's
se.
Not. Whittier isn't. Whittier right. is the birthplace of Richard Nixon, by the way. Have you been out to the library there?
Yeah, it's in Yorba Linda, actually, because actually he was.
But Yorba Linda is not far from there, right?
Well, it's closer to Anaheim than it is to Whittier. I think he grew – because his birthplace or the home he grew up in is in Yorba Linda. And it's
yeah,
on
it's,
the site.
It's right on the property there. I went to the high school he went to, which is also the high school from Back to the Future, which is Whittier High. But yeah, no, I that whole area – and it's fantastic, by the way. Anybody that's out in California, it's such a – that out of all the presidential libraries I've been to – is really one of the best. The Reagan Library has gotten a lot better since they added the plane. They added Air Force One.
That is a very nice display, yes. It's
pretty impressive. I mean, you go in a hangar and they've got an airplane in there. I mean, that's
yeah, and it's not sitting on the ground either. It's actually in the air.
Yeah, you got to
and you can walk through it. Yeah.
You got to go and you can go up to the top and you can do the wave like you're the president, but then they take your picture and you got to pay for it.
Yeah. Yeah,
but I like that a lot. But the Nixon one, I was really impressed by. I've been to a bunch of different ones. I was at the Jimmy Carter one last year. I've been to.
I'm sorry.
It is actually great to go to the Reagan one and then the Carter one, and you get to hear two totally different sides on very similar stories. And you're like, really? But that I don't. It doesn't compute because.
Yeah. Well, have you seen Argo?
No, I haven't. How is that? John Jay, have you seen Argo?
No, I've not.
I've heard really good things, though. This is the Ben Affleck movie?
Yeah, I mean, I had to get past the fact that Ben Affleck was a director and an actor in it. but it was very well done. It's funny, interesting enough, I should say. At the end, they show images of the real people, the real hostages. And, wow, they look a lot like the actors, except for Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
Because Ben Affleck's character has an Hispanic surname, so I'm going to assume
right.
He looks Hispanic of some sort, you know, a little darker than old Ben. but what I laugh about at the movie, and I don't really want to give it away, but there's a voiceover by a president that, you know, had a brother who had a beer label and,
yes.
You know, a guy that had a peanut farm. So you put the, you know, pieces together. And I'm like, you've got some effing nerve to say what you just said after you've seen the film and you realize a position that he put the hostages in.
Right.
And if it wasn't for Ben Affleck's character, they would still be there. And for the nerve for him to say what he did at the end is just galling.
Oh, I can't wait to see it now. I'm interested. I'm even more excited about the movie than I was before.
It is very good though, and you know my wife's like, I know they get out, but it's so tense.
You know, Greg, I've had some Billy beers.
Have you?
I got a 6-pack of them, and I first drank one on the show here. I said I'm going to pop it open. I'm going to pour it into a glass. I'm going to drink it. And I did, and it just tasted like a flat beer. It just tasted like a beer that I opened, sat on the counter overnight, and then opened again, you know, and then drank it. I was stunned at whatever they put in the Billy beer to keep it fresh. It was far too fresh for being as old as it was.
Wow. And, you know, that might be worth something on eBay today. Unopened can.
Not anymore. I opened all 6 of them. But I hung them up. I hung them up from the ceiling like lamps. They look fantastic. They're in my basement above my bar.
Well, do you still have a mullet?
And I drive in my pickup. So the reason we wanted you on the line today. Oh, you know what? I should just wrap up what I was going
to
say.
My agent said I wouldn't be here that long. So
I want to wrap up what I was saying about the Nixon Library, though, because it was a tangent, but I do want to close the circle on that. What's great about the Nixon Library, if you're ever in that area, in Yorba Linda, California, if you're out there, and if you're at Disneyland, not very far from there, you can go to the library and check it out. It has some amazing artifacts, especially about going to, you know, the space program. There's some really neat stuff on that. And his boyhood home is there, which blew me away because they're like, this is the high chair that the president sat in when he was a baby. And this is the quilt where he was born. Did you see this, Greg?
Yeah, we went in the house because remember, it's not only the Nixon Library, it's the Nixon birthplace and library. So he was born here. And amazingly enough, the home survived all these years.
Yeah, they told the story, and it basically was that everything was put in storage. The house became a janitor's house for a school that was on the property, and so that's why the house tended to survive in the area where it was. And the stuff was in storage because they were Quakers. And then eventually they said, hey, you know, he's governor. Maybe one day he'll be something. We might want to keep this stuff. But I just found it fascinating because I've been to the Grover Cleveland birthplace, which is in West Caldwell, New Jersey. They don't have any of Grover Cleveland stuff, for God's sakes. I mean, they have, you know, they do have a piece of his wedding cake, which is pretty amazing. I think they sent a slice to the premier of France or something, and he kept it.
Wow.
But, you know, they don't have anything from his youth. You know, they'll show you something like this is a wash tub that would have been used around that time.
Yeah, like in the era of, you know, right. a lot of museums have, you know, furniture of the period to represent what could have been there. I'm trying to think. I was just somewhere. Oh, we were we just went to the Winchester Mystery House and San Simeon Hearst Castle last weekend. Yeah. And, you know, sometimes this isn't her chair, but this is a type of chair that would have been here, you know, stuff like that. Because most of her stuff was sold off at auction when she died. It was part of, you know, particular family members could take X and Y, and the rest of it was auctioned off. So the stuff they have in there isn't necessarily hers, but are replicas and similarities to, you know, the time period. But anyways, yeah, you could hear the fireworks. I'm 12, 13 miles maybe from Disneyland. I can hear the fireworks. Wow. You know, on the right day, the right time, you know, depending on where you are in Whittier, because there is a nice mountain in Whittier. That's the good side of Whittier, at least it used to be. You might hear something there. It's hard to say. I've never really, you know, been out. I don't go to Whittier very often. So
there's nothing there.
No, Whittier College. And I think that might have been too where Tricky Dick went to college, if that place is still there. But, I know he's born in Yorba Linda, and I know Whittier does come into play. I think they lived there for a while or whatever. But, you know, since we're on this presidential tangent.
Yes.
Do you have any idea what the – who had the first presidential library?
I think I know this. It's Rutherford B. Hayes.
You might be right. I guess it depends on the circles you travel in. And this is why I say this.
Here's the thing. I believe it is Rutherford B. Hayes. But I think the first one, I think there's a little side note to that. He's the first one. But the first one after they established that all of them would have it was FDR, I believe.
Okay. Neither one is where I was going.
Okay.
And that's okay because, you know, this is a little bit of thing that was thrown at me when I was back in Boston. So you might start thinking about how many presidents came from Massachusetts.
John F. Boston Kennedy?
Period. Nah, who cares about Camelot?
was it Taft? Oh, no, that's all.
No. Actually, I'm a big fan of John Adams. In fact, the John Adams miniseries, if you haven't seen it, is just fantastic.
It is good. Yes,
it's a good, you know, based on a very good book by a Pulitzer Prize winning author, by the way. But anyways, I almost said Quigley. It's like we're not talking about Quigley Down Under here. Good film, by the way, too. I like that one. Quincy, Massachusetts, a little south of Boston, and John Adams is. House is there. Well, John Quincy Adams has a library at his parents' estate out there. And we had just missed the tour. We got lost trying to find it. There are signs out in Boston aren't real good. In fact, if it says next right, you should be turning already. That's kind of how that, you know, if this says next right out here, we got a mile to go. In Boston, you better be turning when it says next right. And I see people cross three lanes because they don't seem to give a crap. But once we finally found it, the guy says, you know, I got a tour in here. Why don't you just hang around the gardens? And when I'm locking up, you can come in, kind of look around. I'll tell you a few things. So it's kind of cool. We almost have a private tour. It's literally one big room.
This is the library. Stone Library.
Yeah, you know which one I'm talking about.
I'm looking it up right now. Here's the thing.
The caretaker, let me just put it this way.
Yeah.
The caretaker said, and you know, kind of like he didn't say in theory, but he says, you know, really, that, you know, this is all of his stuff. This is really truly the first presidential library, but not in the sense that we think of them with Nixon's and right. You know, Carter's and Reagan's and all those.
Well, here's the thing. The Wikipedia says opened in 1916, the Rutherford B. Hayes Center Library was the first presidential library. So what I'm thinking is Adams, obviously president before Rutherford B. Hayes, but his library was established after 1916 when Rutherford B. Hayes had his.
Well, I don't think it's the – it's a library. Let's look at it this way. Do you have friends that are girls?
Okay.
Girlfriend.
Yes.
This is a library that's been there since right. 1700s, maybe early 1800s, right?
Yeah.
And it's a library and it belongs to a president, but it's not truly a presidential library in the sense of how we create them today, or probably even how
exactly.
Hayes,
yeah. But, yeah. So the idea was not to preserve his papers and things like that, but that is what they eventually did.
Eventually, I guess the family, you know, because mm-hmm. Even his, I think John Adams' great grandson was a historian and even written, I think, about Lincoln and those times. So the Adams family actually has a lot of multi generational history of important.
So great if when you said the Adams family, you really meant the Adams family.
Isn't it?
Da-na-na-na.
That's it. Yeah, it's great. But anyways, this little side note, you know, some people call it the Hall of Dead White Men. You know, when you go to Walt Disney World, you will see that hall.
Have you seen the new version of this?
I've seen it online. Well, okay. How new is the newest version? Because have you seen it
since Obama's been installed?
Yeah. When they put the Immaculated one in there.
That's right.
I've seen that one, and they keep rewriting history. And I don't mean in a bad way, but the pre-show keeps getting rewritten and changed. And depending on which way you lean, you might go here and there. So.
I thought this one was the best of them all. John Jay, you are going down to Florida. You're going to be hitting the Florida parks.
Ever.
Are you planning on going to the Hall of Presidents?
Well, I was going to say, forgive my ignorance, but is that Epcot Center?
No. This is in the Magic Kingdom in Liberty Magic Square. And there's a whole lot of reasons why you should go to check it out. I think it's a great show. I think it's really well done. I think the new version is just fantastic. I really like the way that they incorporate, you know, video. And they have stuff like they have video from September 11th. They have video from when the space shuttle crashed and Reagan gave a wonderful speech about how they shook the bounds of heaven and touched the face of God, and really wonderful parts that are included in what's essentially the pre-show. And then they have all of the presidents on stage. I love that. I can't get enough of that. But if you go in that area, they have a lot of other wonderful things, including the Liberty Tree, not just the restaurant, the Liberty Tree Tavern, but the tree that has the lanterns for each of the original colonies. And we live in one of those. So it's
right.
Just to represent, you should go there. Go, Jersey!
Yeah, I definitely intend to. My question of that is it something that kids enjoy?
It's a very good question. You know what? Before we go to that, well, let's establish your whole timeline of who you're going with and everything. But I will tell you this before you get past that. My niece really loved it when she was very little. Most kids, I don't think it would be their cup of tea, but my niece was way into robots. And so for her, that Carousel of Progress, any of the ones that had humanoid audio animatronics, she was totally into. But that may not be it. All right, so let's establish when you're going, what time, who you're going with.
I'm headed down the 18th of this month, December.
Mm-hmm. And who are you going to be there with?
I'm going with some family,
and there's going to be some kids.
Yeah, my sister's going, my brother-in-law, my grandma. And my sister bring her two kids, my nephew, who's about 6, and my niece, who's about 12 or 13.
How old's grandma?
Old.
I mean, how old is she? Do you know?
I don't know off the top of my head.
Is she in her 80s?
I would say between 70 and 80.
Okay. So she's relatively young. Yeah, I miss my grandmother. I've lost, over the years, all my grandparents and eventually most of my wife's grandparents. But I love the experience I did have of going with my grandmother to Walt Disney World many years ago. And I think that in itself is something that's really awesome. And the one thing that's great is if you went to Las Vegas, half of those people wouldn't have a good time. If you went to the Grand Canyon, half of them wouldn't have a good time. If you went to the Stone Library for John Adams, half of them wouldn't have a good time. But at Walt Disney World, there's something for all of them.
Well, let's back up a little bit. Have you ever been to a Disney park in your life?
Yeah, I've been to Disneyland like a gajillion times. And
I couldn't
once,
remember.
When was the last time you went?
It wasn't the last time I went to California was 2009. And I don't believe – I want to say 2006 or 2007.
Okay. So it's been a few years.
So yeah. So you're somewhat familiar with the Disney park concept. Now,
yes.
Now your wife – you're married, right?
Me.
No, that's me.
Okay, so
John Jay is a swinging bachelor.
Okay, so whose kids are you taking with you?
My niece and my nephew.
Okay, good. You're not just swiping them off the street. That's good. All right.
No, not
now. Has your then you're going with a sister or brother and their wife, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Have they ever been to a Disney park?
Yes. My sister lives in California, so
has she? Been to
so
Florida?
She's flying out from California.
Yeah.
To go. Okay. And then has grandma ever been to any of these, any place like that?
I'm sure. I want to say yes. I'm sure she's probably gone with my sister.
Okay. Oh, so she's out here too then?
Yeah, she's out in Cali also.
Okay. Where in California are they?
Northridge. Are they
oh, geez. Earthquake country.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, God, this shakes a lot out there. Okay. So I just want to establish that so let's kind of get a feel for – And then the age, see, what you're like, what, 22 or something? You're like really young, right?
I wish. I turned 31 2 months ago.
Oh, you're so old.
Oh, yes.
the brother, sister, in-laws, people, how old are they?
You'll need one of those chairs to ride around, John.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking grandma.
At that age.
She is.
She's getting one, or does she normally have one, or is she getting one for this trip?
I don't know if she's normally getting one, but according to my sister, she is getting one.
It's a good idea, I mean, for that, just because of the ridiculous amount of walking that you'll go.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I would check, if I were you, there are outside companies that will deliver them to your hotel, and you wouldn't have to pay Disney rates. You might be able to get, like, a deal for the week, or how long are you there?
We're going to be there, I think, the 18th through the I don't know the exact date we're leaving, but
what is your? Where are you staying?
I'm staying at the.
Is it a Disney hotel?
It's Royal something or other, Grand Royal.
Grand Floridian.
No.
So it's offsite.
It's off. I think it's in the vicinity, but offsite.
Are you? Yeah, there's a lot of place like that. I think there's like the. I feel like Royal Palms is something.
There's a lot of grands, like Grand Vacation Clubs. There's all kinds of, but you know, again,
renting a car.
You know, my sister said she wanted to rent a car originally, but now she's not sure. Oh, you know where?
This is probably, is it Royal Plaza in downtown Disney? Okay.
Yes.
All right. Okay.
Oh, so you're at Lake Buena Vista, which is adjacent to downtown Disney. So you can take a Disney transportation, basically. Mm-hmm. But you have to get from your hotel to Disney transportation. Sometimes you can walk across the street. They also have some of their own trams. They go directly to them, or you can go over to Downtown Disney and say, wait, let me think about that for a second. Disney's got some weird things about their transportation systems. For instance, unless they have changed this recently, you can't go park to park. But for some reason, I think I heard a rumor that they were going to change that. So if you wanted to go, you know, hop from one park to another, you had to, like, go to an
Can you do that now? You can do that. What you can't do is go from Downtown Disney to a park. You've got to go from Downtown Disney to a hotel, and the reason is so you don't park at Downtown Disney for free, right, and then, you know, get on a shuttle over to Epcot.
I got to say, I think the last time I was there, you couldn't go park to park.
Yeah, that may have been the case at one point in time. I believe
you have to hit a hotel first. Yeah.
I believe I've done that. I feel like I've done that recently, but I usually take the rental cars now, just because I find it's so convenient. For $25 a day, there's no sweaty people next to you.
Yeah, you know,
except for people you know and you brought with you.
That varies opinion on that. I don't mind transportation because you can kind of leave that world behind and just kind of jump into the whole Disney bubble thing. But
and
on
it
the
is
other hand,
as far as transportation goes, I mean, it is a fantastic system.
It's efficient, but you also have to plan further ahead because you know, if it's real busy in the morning, you may not get on the first bus. But you now have the magic ticket. You have the golden ticket from Willy Wonka now. Yeah. If grandma's in one of those ECVs, you will always go to the front of the line on those buses.
Oh, you are so right.
I've actually been the third person in line waiting on a busy morning, and an ECV rolled up with a party of 10.
Right.
None of us got on the bus. We had to wait for another one because bastard on this show? They got on.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I don't care if you're in a effing wheelchair or not. Wait in line like the rest of us.
No, they roll right up. That bus starts tilting sideways, voo, voo, and it extends a giant ramp for them to load them on. And then, they go right up inside it.
Tell me, in Jersey, does a person who has a handicapped vehicle, do they have to pay for parking meters?
They do not.
No.
If you want to be treated the same, but you just need some access because obviously, you know, you can't step up a curb, so we put a ramp in. I get that. But why should you have to pay
the
freaking parking thing?
You're right. No, it is so true that if you – and I have members of my family that have handicap stickers and are handicapped. So I certainly understand the plight of the handicapped. However, when you go to – I've worked at places where you have a parking lot with 10 spaces and two of them have to be handicapped despite the fact that no one coming there is taking those spots. It's crazy.
Oh, I'm working on a project at LAX. And it's a temporary lot for the super shuttle guys.
Sure. Is this for the new international terminal?
They're working on that terminal.
You're working on?
No. I shouldn't probably say too much. My guys are getting displaced, right? So they got to go to a temporary lot. Well, they wanted all kinds of, you know, like handicap park. I'm like, the only people coming to this lot are workers. And I can guarantee you they're not handicapped. You know, because they wouldn't be driving these buses and helping people with their luggage and all that if they were disabled. Yeah. And they want to know, but I shouldn't get into it because that's really kind of publicly putting out there something that people probably don't need to
know. All right. But so basically, that is a wonderful tip, though. If grandma is in an ECV, you get to the front of a lot of things.
Yeah, a lot of lines. But you also will miss things. If she absolutely wants to do some things that have great cues, you probably won't get to see them because most of those cues are not accessible. Of course, now in California, Indiana Jones was one of the first accessible cues, and I worked there when that thing opened. And I'm telling you, the handicap world about imploded when they found out they had to wait in line with everybody else. And of course, we'd turn it and it's like, no, you know, we've designed it so you can enjoy it like everybody else, right? Because that's what you want to be, right? Just like everybody else. I didn't say that. And then they put FastPass in and screwed all that up. So now they go.
Those queues are great, though. I want to pull on that pole, and yeah. You know, and you want to do all those things.
That's... Exactly. And if you're in a wheelchair, you can't. Actually, I've seen a longer line for pirates going in the back door than just walking in the front. And wow. Some of those people that are in that line are just like using a cane,
right?
Standing there for an hour when they could have walked up in 15 minutes. So if you could stand at the back, but there's this right and privilege thing that people have that drive around with those blue things hanging from their rear view window or their rear view mirror. And if you, at least in California, if you clearly read those, they're only supposed to be displayed when you're parked. They're not supposed to be there when you're driving because at least in California, again, you're not really supposed to have anything hanging from your mirror.
Yeah, you're not supposed to have your tassel from your college. You're not supposed
to. It's like driving around with a calling card saying, look at me. I'm privileged. I have my handicap thing. It's this badge of honor more than just, you know, I need, you know, that shows I can get a parking space.
Well, let's go through this. So if John Jay has already been out to Florida, to California, let's go through the stuff that, when he's in Florida, he can skip and the stuff that he shouldn't skip. For example, I would say
skip nothing, but that's
because it's often very, very different. I would say to anybody I talk to that's going out to California, I say, oh my God, don't miss Pirates of the Caribbean. And they're like, yeah, I've done that. I've done it 1,000 times. And I'll say, you know, it's a totally different experience.
It's not riding the Reader's Digest version anymore. You're going on the full thing, but let's back up even before there. So you've arrived at Disney World. This is in itself a big experience. Now, most likely, I don't know, but I don't think you get to take the Disney transportation from the airport. I don't know if they serve the downtown Disney.
They might not, but there may be a resort shuttle. Is this John Jay? Are you in charge of a lot of this, or is this stuff that you're just wherever they tell you to go, you stand there and you say, okay, thanks?
It's a little bit of half and half. What I was going to say was we're coming in from Tampa. Because my aunt and my uncle are stationed up there.
Stationed? Are they in the service?
No.
Let's say there's an airport.
I just couldn't think of a better word.
Okay. All right.
They reside up in Tampa.
Right.
Here, there's
and
a
we won't be seeing them until after.
You're fairly familiar with Disneyland.
Yes.
I have a little, what I call a little tried and true first experience at Disney World that I'd like to suggest anybody who's a huge Disney fan, maybe grew up going to Disneyland, but it's now their first time going to Florida, Walt Disney World. Now, this also means that you're going to the Magic Kingdom first. If you don't, then when you do go to the Magic Kingdom, do this. But I kind of like to look at the parks. If I was suggesting someone new that's grown up with Disney, go to the parks in order of when they were built. And then kind of keep in mind of when they were built and how things have changed and see what they've done different.
It is a very good bit of advice.
Yeah.
Right.
I like to tell everybody when you go to the Magic Kingdom, because it will be a little different than just, you know, if you remember the old days of Disneyland, you got out of your car in the parking lot, practically walked right up to the gate.
Right.
I remember that
time. Well, when I got to Disney World the first time, I'm like, whoa, here's the ticket booths on the other side of this big, huge lake. And to get there, you've either got to take steamer or a monorail. Well, now the buses, if you stay at a Disney, take you right up to the front.
This blows my mind. I don't know why they do that. Why they make the buses go all the way there? I guess it's for, you know, some kind of crowd control. But it totally spoils what the whole concept of the TT.
Yeah. I like to say, Disneyland and Walt Disney World have both suffered from their own success. Mm. They just can't shuttle enough people. If you take everybody now that comes on proper or stays on property, or look how big that parking lot is. That Walt Disney World's parking lot is big enough to house Disneyland Park and its parking lot. Let's look at this that way now. It's big enough to hold Disneyland and DCA in its parking lot. Right. That's how big that parking lot is, and I never see it full anymore.
They built a racetrack in the middle of it, and they didn't suffer from that. I mean, that didn't
– because we have so much on right. I think my opinion, so much on property accommodations now that they don't use the parking lot as much as they used to.
Here's a question. John Jay, what kind of tickets are you going to get? Are you going to have park hopping ability? Are you planning to go to every park? Cause I'm wondering if you're there for 5 or 6 days, maybe you might not go to Animal Kingdom.
Yeah, I'm wondering that myself because it seems like we're only going to be there for 4 days.
Okay, yeah, because, I mean, here's the thing. If I had 4 days, I'd probably try to park hop at some point, although then you lose a whole chunk of a day, you know, to park hop.
Well, if you have your own vehicle, this can be done very expediently. Yeah, because it's not too hard to move around.
They don't have their own vehicle unless they all hop on the ECV, which would be quite a ride.
Look at it this way. Okay, I always think it's worth to pay for the park hopper. It's not that much more. So let's say I'm just going to give you the best case scenario. You're there 4 full days. You've got kids. You're going to go to the Magic Kingdom. That's a for sure. So let me just get past my. Here's what you do to Magic Kingdom before you do anything else. So I was saying, you know, it's not like the regular ticket booths, but so now you're there going through, you know, personal invasion body check before you get into the park. You probably won't get a cavity check, but you never know, depending on the height of the security that day. But you'll walk through and you'll be it looks kind of like Disneyland, but bigger. The train station is going to be big.
Right.
Try not, resist. I really emphasize this. Resist when you go through the tunnels to look down the street. Just kind of go to the right, and then immediately when you get in the tunnel, head to the left. There's going to be – I don't know if you need strollers for the little tykes, but if you do that –
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, you'll pass the strollers, and again, kind of keep your head down, look at your shoes a little bit, and you're going to see the stairway that goes up to the train station from the inside of the tunnel area.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Walk up there, and when you get up there, you're gonna be on this great platform to see down Main Street from the second level. Something you can't do at Disneyland very effectively because you actually got to get into Town Square. Mm-hmm. And you're gonna go, damn, this is big, right. And actually, believe it or not, the shops aren't that big. In fact, some of them are smaller than Disneyland's, but it's got scale that Disneyland doesn't have in the facades of the building. And Town Square is pretty large itself, but the shops, the Main Street areas are not really that large. But you're going to see this vast scale, and it's very ornate, much different than Disneyland in that sense. It's a little different architecture on Main Street. And the castle, of course, is, huge. And it's a great picture opportunity, but you can kind of go up there and you go, wow. Damn, this is big, a lot bigger than Disneyland. And I just think it's a cool thing. I took Chris from the Big D podcast. We'd met in Florida years ago for a Mouse Fest. And I said, Chris, just trust me. I did this to him. He's like, oh, this is so cool. I'm glad I did this. And then we just, cruise down the street from there. But if you do that, and you can, if you want to jump the train, if not, head down Main Street.
Jumping the train is an awesome idea. Although if it was me, I'd arrive there. You arrive there half hour, 45 minutes before they open. In the Magic Kingdom, they still do a show before they open. The other parks no longer do, but you can see that little show with the characters coming out and the family of the day.
Oh yeah.
I think I would prefer a Disneyland type rope drop where the Main Street opens a little early. You get in there, and that's from, 30, 40 years of going to Disneyland where that's mm-hmm. still how they do it. But, Magic Kingdom with kids, you got to do. And you're going to see a lot of, if you spend a lot of time on the internet looking for this stuff, I'm going to say just throw it all out the window. Because if you follow some of those touring plans, they will have you do the Fantasy Kingdom.
Yeah, I don't like the touring plans. Touring plans, basically what they tell you to do is, especially if you have kids with you, you're going to have to walk by things that are calling out to these children, come in now. And you've got to be like, no, we're doing that at 2 p.m. You can't, the touring plans don't work.
Run and do one thing, grab a fast pass for the other, go from the left side of the park to the right side of the park to the park. enjoy your
trip. It's crazy. And but what we do when we go, when myself, my wife, my son go, and you know, occasionally my mother-in-law come with us, on a very rare occasion my parents have come with us, what we do is we make a list. Say, here's the ones we want to definitely hit. Here's the ones we'd like to hit. Here's the ones that would be cool if we hit. Here's the ones we could totally skip. And we do that. And I tend to do is the things that are on the list that I don't do for the year before, maybe 2 years before, I then bump them up to I have to do them next year. But I find that that's the easiest way for me to look at it. And when I get there, I'm like, okay, I can skip this. I want to try to get this. How's the line over here? You know, it seems to work better for me.
Taking all the fun out of the spot. See, that's what I love about the only thing I plan for now is where to eat, because that's crucial.
Well, you got to do that. That's one of the things that's crazy about it. You really have to plan that in advance now.
If you want to sit down at a restaurant. Now, if you don't, then don't worry about it. But guy, all your list is like just taking all the spontaneity that.
You know me. I go there twice a year. You know, I've been there way too many times for anything to be spontaneous.
Okay, you reminded me of when I was like 7, and I took out remember the map they used to sell that practically filled the wall of the parks. You know,
yes,
and we managed to almost do every single ride one day at Disneyland that way, and we literally planned, you know, step by step where we're going to go. And I actually know there's a podcaster. It's him and his wife. What is that podcast? Can't think of it now, but the guy's like a spreadsheet, you know, fiend. And he does every, you know, he's got it down to the minute and the seconds he came out to Disneyland, and I'm like, I'm going to F him up on this. And then he had a kid. I'm like, oh, now I know that's out the window. You know, well, give me the general idea. It's like, dude, where's the fun of that? You know, it's like, it is now time to take my pants off. Okay, now it's time to jump in bed. Now it's time to say, come on, have a little fun.
Greg, when you're out there in Florida, what's your favorite of the four parks?
You know, I'm going to say Magic Kingdom.
Okay.
Still, well, no, I'm not stopped here. You know, that's an open question. That's a loaded question, I think.
I think it's a fair question.
Well, it is, but it's loaded because the first time I went to Florida in 1975,
had one park. Yeah, you had one park. You had River Country, right? Was that open at that point?
Yeah, it was, and we didn't go.
And you had what, three hotels, two hotels?
Contemporary, Polynesian, and the campground. Yeah. Oh, and the resort. But
where did you stay?
In 1975, we stayed off property.
Yeah, what was it? Were you staying at like a Swiss chalet? Were you staying at what was it called?
I have no idea.
Really? I'm stunned that you don't know.
I was.
I remember the ones from when I was a kid, because staying in a hotel was a big damn deal.
I was 7. My father died maybe 6 months prior to that. Here's what I do remember.
Make me feel bad now.
Just kidding. The restaurant that was attached or in the parking lot of this hotel was owned by Johnny Unitas, because it was called the Golden Arm or something like that.
Wow.
And that's what I remember. I remember about the restaurant. I've never done any research to find out.
You should do some research. I'm sure you can find that, because, you know, Johnny Unitas. I went to the Johnny Unitas Babe Ruth Museum in Baltimore. There's got to be. I'm going to Google this right now. Johnny Unitas restaurant in Florida.
See, when we went to, I think, the park maybe 2 days, and we also went to down to Winter Haven to the Cypress Gardens. We went out to Cape Kennedy.
Oh, yeah, that's fun. We used to go there when that was open. But I'm talking Cypress Gardens, not Cape
Kennedy. So I went back in 81. It was just me and my buddy, or 82. So no parents. You know, we're adults, per se. Right. But anyways, Magic Kingdom's got this special place because it's the most like Disneyland. So I like to always make sure I'm at the Magic Kingdom, like the last thing I do is be in the Magic Kingdom. That hasn't always worked out that way, but it's something I like to do. But favorite, that's really hard. I really like Epcot. Though,
yeah, I was going to say that's my favorite, and I don't have to think too hard about it. That's
really screwed up things about the Magic Kingdom. I mean, Future World right now, but I still Epcot. I remember when it opened. I remember how, because there was no internet at the time, we arrived in Florida in 82, about a month before it opened. So all we got to do is take the monorail out there and gawk from the monorail station. So we watched it on TV instead a month, you know, 2-3 weeks later after we got home. But I really like the Animal Kingdom. I didn't think I would like it. In fact, I resisted trying to like it. I'm like, this is a half park. I'm not going to like this place.
It is great. It's great to walk around. It's great. I find that park is so much better if you're not waiting in lines to do stuff, if you're simply slowly walking through and looking at things.
And I'll, you know, John, listen to this closely.
Yes.
Waiting in line in that park is torture because Africa doesn't know what air conditioning is yet. It's a third world country.
Mm.
Okay, so there is no air conditioning in that park except a couple rides once you get inside. Mm-hmm. Outside, you know, you're waiting in line for the animal, safari. It's a great attraction. And no matter what people tell you, and this comes firsthand from guys who drive that ride, it doesn't matter what time of day you go. There's no guarantee animals are going to be up or down. You know, everybody says go in the morning because animals are active. Guys I know that drive that say it just doesn't matter. You never know from day to day. So
I will tell you this. This is one thing we've got all over Florida here in New Jersey. John Jay, you've been out to Six Flags Great Adventure African Safari. We've got a safari. Now, I'm telling you, it's bigger than that. You drive your own car through it. Giraffes lean down and look in your windows. I'm telling you, I love that. Simba won. But this totally tops it.
We used to have one of those.
Yes, you did. It was Busch Gardens owned it. Lion Country Safari right in the middle of L.A. there. You had actual lions, including Fraser, the lovable lion who was all about siring, you know, new cubs.
Right. He was buried up on the hill after he died.
I've seen the movie Fraser, the Sensuous Lion.
It's not actually in L.A. I see it's people in those days would have called it Greater L.A., but it's Orange County. It's just recently been finally built over. They built over a part of it for the Irvine Amphitheater or whatever name they've applied to it now. And there's a water park out there where they finally built over the remain. I thought it would be a great place to have a paintball course. But, yeah, you drive. You could either rent a car if you don't want to take your own car through it, or you could drive a car through it. You know, the rhinoceros would come right. We watched a lady, you know, probably if we would have checked her car, she had to change her underwear. She was driving a Volkswagen Bug. The rhino was bigger than she was, and she was, you could see her freaking out.
But this was Lion Country Safari. There is one of those still in Florida. It's by like, I think it's by Weekiwachee Springs. It's up in a little north of, it's not central Florida. I think it's northern Florida, but there is one of those out there. I haven't been there, but I've seen brochures within the past 2 or 3 years. But my point is that safari, fantastic, wonderful attraction, definitely something you should check out. But we do have something here that's pretty remarkable.
Does Busch Gardens Dark Continent still have their animal thing?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they do. That's in down there in Tampa.
Yeah, see, I thought Disney was crazy when they were going to do theirs. You know, Tampa already had one. Though I've been to that park once. I didn't do the safari. I didn't have time to do it. It was kind of like a, you know, my family was – my wife and my friend was gone. I was waiting to go to Eglin Air Force Base and up in the Panhandle. It was a combination TDY, temporary duty, with vacation. So I had some time to kill. So I went to Tampa and did that park, which was kind of very – it kind of reminded me of Knott's Berry Farm. It had a corkscrew type attraction, but
It looks like they're still around. They don't use the phrase "Dark Continent" anymore. Someone has told them not to. I bet.
Yeah. But again, if you have 4 days and you can hit all parks,
hit them all.
Be great. If you can, here's what I got to say about park hopping. It can be difficult, but there are a few exceptions. So plan accordingly. Park hopping between the Magic Kingdom and Epcot, not difficult because you can take the monorail. Mm-hmm. So peace. If you're going to park hop between those two. And then park hop between Epcot
and Disney Hollywood Studios.
You can either walk it. It's a long one, but you can. Or you can take these little friendship water.
Yeah, take the little boat.
And plus there's a downtown Disney-esque area, the boardwalk, at the Boardwalk Hotel where the restaurant.
Oh, I love the Boardwalk. You know what John Jay ought to do is go check out the what's the Dueling Pianos place there? Jelly Rolls.
Never been in there. I've
heard about it. It's great. Oh, my God. We should go sometime. It's fantastic. They've got dueling pianos, two guys on two different pianos just going at it. And you can go up there, you know, put in your dollar and tell them what you want to hear. Otherwise, you can just sit back and enjoy it. Oh, it's fantastic.
I should mention that my services as a tour guide and expert, it's available. my rates aren't exorbitant. And I am available in the time period that you are. you should be, crowd-wise, you should be okay. My Mouse Fest used to be roughly about right now, the first week or two of December. Now, closer you get to Christmas, the madder it gets, from what I understand, Christmas being one of their busier seasons, even busier in the summer, from what I've been told.
Right, I have heard that.
But this time of year, you should be able to not walk on everything. The rain period, you know, their big rain period is past. We just
right.
You know, passed that, which you guys should know from being on the East Coast anyways. Mm-hmm. Florida right now is bitching. That's all I can say. And all the decorations are going to be up. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
You've got young kids. You're going to definitely want to see the Osborne Spectacle of Lights. Just
that's because
great. Gasoline. I don't know how long you can stand there and go, have a Chevy Chase moment, right?
Grand Canyon.
Big Ben Perlman.
Well, let me ask you this, John Jay. What is it you're looking forward to? What is it you're wondering about? What is it you're trepidatious about? What are you thinking?
I don't know. You know, I've heard lots of bits and pieces. I mean, a friend of mine said I should first thing I should do is get a fast pass for Toy Story Mania.
That's all right.
It's all right.
Yeah,
it's video. It's a video game you ride through. So yeah. If you're going to go to that park, so let's talk about MGM or Disney Studios.
Disney's Hollywood Studios.
So the kids probably would enjoy. How old are they again?
One's about 6 and the other one's in her tweens.
Oh. Okay. 6-year-old, well, you know, he probably won't do that well. Who knows? He might kick everybody's butt. But it's kind of fun. We have it out here. Yes. If you're going to go to that park, you walk, don't run. Straight to the back of the park and get your fast pass for that. Other than that, that park has limited things to do.
It's very small and it's very poorly laid out. And yes, and it's not their fault. It was laid out to be something it's not anymore.
Absolutely their fault. They're those ones that laid it out. But I
yes, that is true.
It's not dissimilar to California Adventure.
Right.
And I've had a lot of argue with me in this, but I said, look at a map. One's dog leg to the right, one's dog leg to the left. Yeah. Now, Disney Studios has added on some areas, the Street to Tower of Terror, the Rock and Roller Coaster, two attractions that you must not miss. I'm one of the better roller coasters they have. It's in the dark, which is great.
Yeah.
I'm not a Aerosmith fan, but I was surprised to find out I knew every one of those songs that they played on that attraction. And it's a fun roller coaster. Tower of Terror, great attraction, well-themed, must-see. Lines can get long on that one, too. Mm-hmm. They're much worse from what I've experienced at that dumb Toy Story Mania. Star Tours is Star Tours at 2.0.
Star Tours is great, though. Yeah, no, that is fantastic. John Jay's a sci-fi fan, right?
Yeah, and I've been on the original, but I've not.
Yeah,
yet
no, that experience. The original is nothing. That is that it's like saying, you know, you drove in a car in 1970, and now you're going to get on the space shuttle. This is a total departure. You'll love that. That I'll tell you. When I went the last time second to last time I went to that park, they had just recently reopened that, and they had the new version of Star Tours. And so all we did that day was just go on Star Tours as many times as we could. So we had lunch, we did stuff like that, but we went on Star Tours, I think, 4 times. And every time we went on it, it was different until the end. And then I think like the last 2 times, it was like an amalgam of the previous times. You know, oh, we saw this once. Oh, we saw this in the morning, you know. But, oh, my God, that is a lot of fun. You should really hit that a couple times.
Times I've ridden out here, mm-hmm. I've pretty much got the same exact show.
Oh, that's horrible. That's a shame that they do it that way, because that's what I'm saying. I had that experience where it was – The first time I went, it was 100% different the second time. And then after that, it started to be, oh, yeah, you know, we saw this part. Oh, we saw that part. So, I mean, I guess it's a, you know, luck of the draw thing.
Like 64 different variations. And the way you get that is by little small pieces, you know, being different in this one or that one. I think I've had maybe two different things in the middle, but the endings have always been the same, which is, one, from what I understand, one of the weaker ones when all the Jedi stand there and like wave at you or welcome you home or whatever. But that's an attraction you may want to ride multiple times if you can. Other than that, for me, a must-see, great movie ride. It's fun. If it's not real busy, you may or may not get a really good scene because there's this way where the cars split apart at one point. One group gets to go to a gangster thing. Another group gets to a Western thing. And certain things happen there depending on which group you're with and won't happen if it's, you know, not a real busy period of time.
Yeah, but you'll almost always get the gangster. Unless it's very busy, then you can get either one. I always – and that's right? That's the way you understand it?
Yeah, it seems like, yeah, when it's been slow, and what's really odd about it is, I'm sorry, I don't go for the gangsters. It just doesn't
you
work.
Get the, you're saying the female gangster?
Yeah.
I always get the female gangster. I always get this teenage girl. I'm like, wow, she's kind of hot, but I don't believe she's a 1927, you know, Bonnie and Clyde Bonnie.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you very much. Now, if you're going to plan ahead, and you're probably too late, so I would call tomorrow. And eat at any of these restaurants, I highly recommend the Sci-Fi Dine-In. And it's not for the food.
Not for the food. It's just for the it's for the atmosphere.
Yeah, the food isn't bad, but it's not great, but it's not bad. I've never had a bad meal there. I'm going to put it this way. I always get I get ribs if I go there, and the ribs have always been tasty. Yeah. But it is definitely the atmosphere you go for. You're like in. It feels like you're outside at a drive-in theater watching old sci-fi, and it is fun.
It's a great reel. You get to see, you know, the cat who hated people, and he goes up to outer space. You get to see from Princeton, New Jersey, monkeys riding around in little spaceships.
It's great. And that's kind of stuff you really do have to plan ahead. Now, I've been lucky enough to call from the hotel the night before, but don't totally rely on that. But if you do want to have a sit-down meal at that part, that's one of the places I would recommend. I don't recommend the Italian place. I had a really bad experience there.
Mamma Mia, right? Mama Melrose.
Yeah. Something you can skip at this part easily is the backstage tram tour. Now, if you have time, write it. But if you've ever been to Universal Hollywood, you'll wonder why you got on this tram.
Yeah,
it's not as impressive.
No, it's not. It doesn't exist. It's you get on it, and they're like, "Yeah, here's where they used to make costumes for movies. Now there's a lady in there washing, you know, Donald Duck's shorts." And we're gonna pull up an ad. This is Automobile Graveyard, but there's not much in it because we don't really have anything because we stopped shooting things around the time Ernest Saved Christmas. And then you circle around, and they're like, here's Catastrophe Canyon, which is pretty cool. And then they're done. That's it. There's not much to it.
Oh, wow. The only thing there that you won't see anywhere else is Walt Disney's plane when he scouted
That's
out.
That's cool, yes, when he would fly down and scout up Florida.
Or, like, you know, if you're a fan of Roger Rabbit, they have the big machine that was the Slimer or whatever they call it.
Oh, the dip.
But isn't that in a gift shop? You can see that without going on the tram, right?
I don't know where it is now. At one time, it was on the last portion where they got all the graveyard stuff.
Right. I think now, and I may be wrong, but I think that's in the gift shop. I think you can see that. You know, you go in that gift shop on the right hand side, you can see it from there. But I may be wrong. But yeah, no, the tram is fun to do occasionally, but there's just not much to it anymore. It's a shame.
The back lot's gone because they basically built Light Cameras Action on top of that. Now, again, if you've seen car stunt shows, it's just another car stunt show. Grain of salt. The kids might like, I don't know if it's still there, the Honey, I Shrunk the Kid area. If you need to wear them down, let them go play for a while. It's like they're in the set of Honey, I Shrunk the Kids with these huge props.
Oh, neat.
You know, wear them down. Let them go through there. You know, if you like Muppets, do the Muppet Theater. I'm not a big Muppets fan, but it's a pretty cool 3D thing. The animation thing, I don't really think you need to do. The only thing good about it is it looks like the Walt Disney Studios in Florida. It's very – or, I mean, in California, it's got that very Art Deco look that the studio does out here. But as far as the things inside, the one here in California Adventure is probably much better. And it's just not – you know, you used to have to go through that before you got in the tram, and some of that now is broken into little pieces. So I'd skip it unless you have time. The mermaid thing, the little under the sea show, unless you got young kids that really like mermaid, something you could probably skip.
Yeah.
But I would see if it's still there, One Man's Dream. If you're into the whole Walt Disney legacy and models of the park and things of that nature, what his office looked like, it's worth the 20-30 minutes to cruise through it. It's usually not too busy. And there's a little film that you can take a power nap through at the end if you need one or watch it. It's not a bad film, but once you've seen it a few times, for me, it's a power nap place.
When you exit that, there's some handprints, and this is not to be confused with the ones at the Chinese Theater. There's a few in that area of some animators.
Yeah.
Which I think is really cool.
So other than those things we've told you about in this park, I like the Indiana Jones Stunt Theater.
They still have the stunt show?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Now, if you do it, when you exit, so you're looking at the stage. Pretend with me now. Visualize.
Oh, right.
I'm looking at the stage. Greg told me to leave to the left, never to the right. So when you leave to the left, you're going to see two authentic props from the Indiana Jones movie, the tank from the third movie. Uh-huh. And he stored it. When I saw it, it's a rusty bucket, and I got pictures on Flickr if you ever want to see it. There's some rumors that they restored it because Lucas was coming out to visit because of some new film or whatever. So that's there. And what's the other? I think there's a Jeep or something out there,
right,
too. But the tank is kind of cool to see because that was built for the film, I believe. So that's cool. And then the stunt theater, you know, the little flying wing is kind of a letdown compared to the movie, but it's still kind of cool to see the explosions and all that. And it's, again, it's a typical stunt show you'd see at a place like Universal or that. So some of it seems a little walk through, not, you know, but it's fun. You know, it's a fun thing to do. And I'd say that's it. Unless you have more dining experience in the place where you go in and eat in your aunt's kitchen.
That's fun. Yeah. No, that's Primetime Cafe.
Yeah, it's really fun because it's
that's
being
great
in your mom's kitchen, and they'll tell you to get your elbows off the counter, you know, eat your peas and carrots. It's kind of fun. My son didn't appreciate that, but it is kind of fun. So that wraps it. That, to me, that's a half-day park. If you can hit all those big things I told you, you could be out of there by 1 or 2 and go enjoy something else. But, you know, that's just me.
Hey, Greg, have you drank at every country in Epcot?
Almost, but not. I'm not a big fan of sake, so nothing there. Where would you say you would get wine if you went and got wine at Epcot? You think
France? Yeah, sure.
I think the German wines, and you can get it for free. There's wine tasting over there. I thought the German wines were much better. Wines. But I'm not. I can't call myself a wine aficionado, but I know what I like. You know, I know what tastes good to me, and Germany tastes good to me.
I did the one where they had a flight. Have you done that where you go to 6 different countries? You can choose whichever ones you want?
No.
I don't know if they're still doing this. Do you know what I'm talking about or no?
Yeah, because, you know, I've been at the wine and the beer.
Food and wine is awesome. I can't get enough of that.
The friends, even at Mousefest, have tried to, you know, do the drink around the world. Well, I started in Mexico, and I got a margarita that's, you know, like 3 feet tall.
Right.
By the time I got to – what's the next one? Is it Norway?
Mexico. You go to Norway and then to China.
And think about drinking in Norway, though I would have liked to try something there. And then China, again, nothing really – you know, I'm telling you, a restaurant I will never eat at again is the Nine Dragons.
Just like your local Chinese food place.
Out in California, Chinese food doesn't taste like that. So
Because they built the railroads there, damn it.
It's a little like our Mexican food isn't quite like what you get in Mexico.
Right.
It's recognized a lot because there's such a, you know, a melting pot of various cultures here. And I think it's just been watered down a little bit. But the Japanese place, on the other hand, I really like the Teppan style where they cook in front of you. That's very cool. You know, again, Epcot, you know, future or World Showcase is all about food and looking, not a lot of writing. But they do have the 360 films, the one that's like 180 roughly. France has probably got the best film out there, in my opinion. It's a little dated as far as the print mm-hmm. and those people are wearing. But
yes. But you've got to tell John Jay to go watch the Norway film and close his eyes.
Don't tell this to the little kids. But just say, you know, nephew, niece, whatever their names are, I'm just resting my eyes. But if you, I'm air quoting, watch this film with your eyes closed, there are funny sound effects that you're going to hear that when you have your eyes open, you don't necessarily think about it. But
yeah, you get some zipping, you get some skis on the ground doing a like that kind of sound, and then you get a and then a.
Oh my gosh.
As he launches into the sky.
Pretty funny.
I will tell you, this is what I did. It's the World Showcase Wine Walk. $20 and you get wine from a bunch of different locations, and they give you a list of all the locations that have the wine that you could go take. And it was not every country, but it was most of them. And I loved it. I mean, I just wandered around during the day. You know, I started it early, you know, like at lunchtime, and then, you know, just occasionally would stop into a place, say, hey, what do you have here? And, you know, they'd say, oh, we have the Rose Regal. And, oh, yeah, hit me. You know, let me try it. And they'd give you a little tiny glass, and you could sit there and drink it. I like that. I found that a lot of fun just because while I'm not an aficionado of wines, hell, you know, it was fun to try them, you know, yeah. Check it out.
Well, like I said, when I was at Food and Wine, that's kind of, you know.
Oh, that's like, the best.
Or more food and beer. The wine wasn't, you know, they make fun of me because I like hard liquor.
Yeah. You know? Get those mixed drinks.
Fruity drink. Yeah. Stuff with taste. Beer to me is bland and works really good with two things. One, it's got to be ice cold, and two, there's got to be pizza or onion rings around, because otherwise
I agree.
And as it starts to, the chill starts to leave it, I'll, you know, it's like drinking warm Coke. Who wants to do that?
Yeah, Food and Wine runs forever too. I mean, it's done by this point, but it starts like the end of the summer, runs almost into Thanksgiving. I mean, it's a real long period of time that you can do that. And I loved it when we went. You can try food from beyond the countries that are there. There's a handful of other countries that, you know, there's probably for every country that's there, there's three that show up just for this and get these beautiful little like little counter service locations.
Now, if you're just talking merely attractions at we'll stick with the American or World Showcase, don't miss the American.
Yeah, no, the American Adventure, such a beautiful show. I think every American that's there should sit through it. There's so much you learn from it, and there's so much that you come out of it, stuff that you're reawakened that you knew from childhood, you say, oh my God, this is such a great place to live.
Presented in a really cool manner. Now, the kids will like the Tempe de whatever, the Mexican Pavilion. Take that boat ride. It's kind of like a Small World meets Mexico, and now they've infused it with some Disney characters.
Right, Grand Fiesta Tour.
Yeah, that's worth taking. And actually, that's a nice place to eat. I've eaten there before, and I still highly recommend that joint to eat. Short of that, all you really have are films. Canada's got a new Circle Vision, and I say new only because some of it's remastered, and there's some new footage with
Martin Short.
Short, which is certain they could have.
You could skip that.
Well, Canada film, they could have found a more current Canadian even Shatner, would it not be fun if William could tell you about Canada?
Be awesome. No, I would love that. My favorite one's I do like the France one you mentioned. I like that because you're getting, you know, the half circle vision and you're sitting down. But I like the China one.
Great. Over the years, still really good. What really is great about China, or I mean the France one, though, is the soundtrack. It's classical, but it's really, really good. But yes, China's fun. Mm-hmm. China's a real fun film. Again, you have to stand for it. Now, if you go into China, when you first walk into the round building, the temple, whatever it is, find the very center of that building you walk up to, and there's like it's almost like one of those echo chamber things where you say things and it'll echo up in because it's a big round dome. It's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But, you know, again, it's very, very foresee. Kids may not like it. You know, Granny may want to sleep through it. You know, it depends if you all travel together. You know, you can take and leave some of these things. But over in Future World, I wouldn't skip anything.
Who's moving their mic? One of you guys is shifting your mic around.
Probably me.
It's John. Yeah, leave your mic alone because I'm Sorry. Losing Greg. Go on. You were saying in Future World you wouldn't skip any of it, which I can't agree with more. That's fantastic.
Yeah, potential. Now, granted, Ellen's Energy Adventure, which originally was just,
It was just Energy Adventure, Universe of Energy, presented to you by Exxon.
But you learned a lot more on that one, like the solar cells that are on that building ran the attraction or a good portion of it, things you don't hear about anymore. I don't know if they actually work anymore. No.
And I totally missed the pre-show. Do you remember the pre-show for that with the shapes that would turn and you would see the image projected on some of them and not others?
Here's my recommendation. Don't write that first. Write that when you're feeling a little tired because you got a half an hour to sleep if you need to.
Yeah.
There's plenty of room to lay down in these things. Mm-hmm. But it is dark. It's a bunch of different IMAX theaters, a little bit of animation. They've got kind of the diorama from Disney World with some dinosaurs stuck in there. But if you were going to skip anything, skip Ellen. But try not to wait. You know, of course, the car ride.
Test track, they've reworked that.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Looks nice.
Yeah. Put Honda in it, but, you know, the track, I'm sure, has not changed, so maybe some of the theming is different.
Yeah, it's totally the theming. It just looks very, very different.
The attraction is pretty fun. And, by the way, the racers out here in California are a lot of fun, too. Been on it once. Let's see, what else you got? The land?
Well, you know, before you get to that, I do want to say about Spaceship Earth, don't do that first because everybody's going to congest and line up for that. And that ride, if you go to that later in the day, the line just disappears.
Oh.
Because people are constantly – from what I understand, that moves more people through than any other attraction in all of Walt Disney World just because it's constantly loading. It doesn't stop unless you have a handicap that needs to stop. But that thing just keeps moving. And so if you go in the morning, everybody wants to go on that. But I found that if you go in the afternoon or the evening, that ride's not that, you know, I mean, 10 minutes, 20 minutes tops.
Yeah, I you're correct. Because people see it the first thing, they're like, okay, let's just go right here. Yeah, wait till later. If you want to get a fast pass for anything in this park, it's going to be one of two things. Soarin or the car ride.
And what about Mission Space?
I have found, especially since they have the puke version and the non-puke version, that there usually isn't much of a wait because you can pick the other. I highly recommend the puke version.
Okay.
Wuss out. Okay, the kids want to wuss out, but John, don't wuss out. You'll be happy that you went on the – I think they call it I don't even know what – there's like – they have two colors, so like extreme and not extreme. They spend a lot of money in those centrifuges. I want my money's worth when I ride them. And it's a kick in the pants. I really like that attraction. And I thought it was going to be cool because they have barf bags in it that they'll have like some logo on it. I'd take one with me. They were plain. I was really disappointed that the barf bags didn't have some kind of theming on them too. but it's a fun attraction. I almost forgot about Mission Space, so thanks for reminding me. Soarin', for some reason, keeps the Fast Pass.
Now, that's one that if you've done it out in California, I would almost say you can skip it. The queue is a lot different and better in Florida, but other than that, once you get on it, it's the same thing.
The same thing.
Now they have the interactive queue, which I didn't see. Previously, it was like you're supposed to be like in an airport. How exciting is that? Well, at least there's no body cavity searches in that one. But you're right. Is exactly the same. But if you're traveling with people who have not done the California one, then it's an attraction they should see. If they've done it, you know, you could possibly skip it. You almost could say the same thing about the land, but I would guarantee you that everybody in your group, you've described them all, will find something in the land attraction that they'll like. They may not like the whole thing, but one of these kids are going to say, oh, I really like those big giant tomatoes, or oh, the fish farm was really cool. Somebody in there is going to like something in there. And if you and talk about a restaurant that I've never had a problem getting into, they've got a restaurant that spins very slowly. I don't have to worry about puking on that one. Theirs, and they actually serve food that is grown in the attraction below, which is kind of cool. And it's good. It's served family style, and you've got a large group. So if you can take advantage of any of these family style restaurants, Liberty Tree Tavern, that Land Grill or whatever they call it.
Garden Grill.
Garden Grill. It's very good. I'm sure there's others. The kids will probably like the Sea Pavilion with Nemo and friends. They've got their version of the Nemo attraction. Ours is in the subs. Theirs are in the old attraction there. And that's kind of cool. You know, it's an aquarium. So you see fish and all that kind of stuff. And there's some interactive things the kids can play with. And it's not bad. It's worth seeing. You could skip, in my opinion, the Imagination Pavilion, but the kids will.
Yeah, here's the thing. No, Imagination, the Journey into Imagination with Figment, there's not going to be a line. I don't care whether it's 4th of July and that you're going to wait 5 minutes tops for that. So that one, I think, you know, odds are you'll just be able to walk right on. It's fun, I think, for what it is. I like the old attraction better. But Captain EO over there. John Jay, are you interested in checking out Michael Jackson?
Yes, I didn't know there was I didn't know there was Captain EO in Walt Disney World.
Back for a while, yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah, I knew they re-released it in Disneyland. I didn't know it was re-released in Disney World.
Yeah. Here's the only, you know, if they would have brought it back 100%, I would have been happy, real happy. They didn't bring it back in its, can I even say this, its full glory. Originally, you know, there were fiber optics in the wall. There was smoke they don't use. There was a lot of effects that they didn't put back in the theater. Basically, they just shot 3D film. So you lost some of the early effects. So when they first showed that film, when it went dark in the theater and you were in space, there were fiber optics in the wall. It looked like the whole theater was in space. It was really pretty cool. So there's just some things they didn't do anymore. I think one of the, they had a light in the back too. So when like the red alarm light was going off, it was like you were, you know, in there with them. But, you know, if you haven't seen it or for nostalgic sake, you'd like to see again how bad that film really was, knock yourself out, you know.
Hooter ate the map.
Oh, man.
I need the map.
yeah. So that about covers Epcot, I think. If you're good fast food, oh, my God, don't go to the Electric Umbrella. You'll be
The worst. I don't understand why that one is so bad. The only thing that's good there is the free refills.
You know what? It's just so busy. There. Think about what other quick fast food joint is there in that whole park? I think people come there because there's no other like hot dog and hamburger place for the kids. The food down in the Land Pavilion in their fast food joint isn't bad. It's still, again, it's kind of made like a airport, but it's got a lot of healthy sandwiches, things of that nature. But really, Epcot's only hot dog joint other than at the American Well, get this. You got all these classic foods from all these countries, right? You get sushi, you get pasta. At America, you get hot dogs.
Yeah.
Not even barbecue or something. Just
that's what we do.
And maybe hot dogs. And I think the funnel cake place there too.
Oh, well.
And Budweiser. That's our only beer that represents our country.
You know, you go to Germany. I expected some German beers we don't get here in this country. Heineken. Okay, I can get a restaurant I do like, though, over on the other side is the Rosencrown Pub.
That's fantastic. Have you seen the Hat Lady?
I've heard about her. I've not seen her, no.
She's really good. She's like the Yeehaw Bob of that restaurant. Just fantastic.
Now, do you like fish and chips, John Jay?
Not really.
Because I say, if you go to the English restaurant, the meat, don't think of steak like we have steak. They don't cook it up quite the same. But if you like, or anybody in your family likes fish and chips, don't order it on the inside. It's like one big, huge thing. I don't think it got cooked quite as well. But if you go to the walk-up, they get like three pieces. It's cooked really well. At least in my experience, this is how it went. I thought it was better at the walk-up window than in the restaurant. But, you know, and if you like firework shows in the water where they shoot off sparklers and burn a little off, you might like the show at night over the water there. I'm not a big fan, though the music is really good. I think it's kind of slow moving, but that's just me. A lot of people just think that's the best thing since, you know, sliced bread, and they cry over it and all that. I'm like, oh my God, I got to see this again. But anyways, so we haven't really covered Animal Kingdom in great detail, have we?
Yeah. You know what I like at Animal Kingdom is the train to Rafiki's Planet Watch, which a lot of people don't see the value in. But I just love taking that train, going over there, checking out. They may have a gorilla. That's what I saw. I saw a gorilla that was getting like his tooth pulled or something. And, I mean, it was really neat to see some, you know, animal, you know, having surgery, getting to see up close a couple really exotic spiders and things. I mean, that's what I enjoyed about that.
It's an okay thing. It's one of those ones where I might do it every third trip. I do like the look of the train, though. It's that English-looking train, Harry Potter-ish, if you will. It's kind of cool. But I would say, back to the Magic or Tragic Kingdom, did we really cover it, or do you really need to cover it? It's a lot like Disneyland, but not like Disneyland. If you can kind of – it's bigger. You'll walk your ass off more, but there isn't really that much more to do there.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen any numbers since the new attractions that opened, but there's not that many new attractions in that new Fantasyland. I got to see some of that they had opened a few months ago when I was there. The Casey Jr. area was open at that point, the new Dumbo and everything. But up until before that, Disneyland still had a few more attractions despite having less room.
I don't know how I got. But somehow I got in some thread. I don't spend a lot of time in Disney message boards and all that because there really is a bunch of idiots in those. But I hope you guys don't spend time in those because I just.
Well, no, I every morning I go on Mice Chat and I stay there until the end of the night and then I log off and then I go back on the next day because that's all I need. Did I kill you? Are you gone?
Yeah. The discussion happened to be about attractions at DCA versus the Magic Kingdom, and basically they're neck and neck. You know, it's right on top of each other now. And you think about how old the Magic Kingdom is now, and I've got some theories on the Magic Kingdom, but I won't go into today. But you know, you got almost everything there is worth doing. The Fantasyland, you know, of all things. Peter Pan will be a long ass line. You can skip Small World, in my opinion, but the kids might like it.
Yeah.
Peter Pan's going to be a long line. And it does have Fast Pass, which ours doesn't here. And it's always a long line here. Hmm. You know, I'm not a big fan of Fast Pass, but if you're passing by and people are looking at, oh, look at that line. I don't want to wait. Grab it. You know, I like PhilharMagic. It's a fun little 3D show.
I love it.
Space Mountain.
I do want to say before we go any further, that was a bit of an inside joke. If anybody remembers the first time you were on with us, I misintroduced your podcast by saying you guys were mice chat instead of mice cast.
I just thought of this the other day. You were trying to have another podcaster on that was part of our group.
I was. We tried to get Trapped on Vacation, Earl.
That's what, and that never worked out.
He never answered me. I emailed him several times because the reason we wanted him on was, and this does not help John Jay on his adventure, but the old Adventurers Club, you and I had talked that he might be a good guest to have on to talk about that attraction, you know, that whole wonderful building. And I just have not been able to capture him.
I talked to him not too long ago before one of the hub recordings. I'll have to remind him about that again. Send him an email month or so, and I'll next time I talk to him.
Yeah, we really should, because I would love to talk to somebody about that attraction, that, you know, that building, because it was just so amazing.
Him and his wife are experts on that place, so they could tell you. And some small things from there is in the, you know, Enchanted Tiki Bar now at Disneyland. So, anyways, but Magic Kingdom, you know, I personally I would just kind of cruise around and say yes, no as you walk by or back later, because everything's pretty good in the Magic Kingdom. I think the Laugh Floor, you know, if you want to do MILF, go to the Laugh Floor. You notice they made an acronym for that attraction, right?
Yes.
Not it's John Jay's going to go, what?
It's Monsters Incorporated, the Laugh Floor.
So MILF.
Oh.
You know what MILF is, right?
Yes.
Good. So, I'm not a big Stitch fan, so I can take it or leave it.
Yeah, I think that one's fun. I think that's, you know, I mean, it depends. It depends on how long the line is. I love the, I always do the Tomorrowland Transit Authority, the old people mover, just because it's fun to see everything from above. I always do the Carousel of Progress. That's just been my favorite since I was a kid. And it's so nice to know that this attraction that to a degree was at the World's Fair is still running today.
Yeah, we could talk in length about the original and how different it was at the end and what you got to see, but we can do that another time. But yeah, so everything in the Magic Kingdom, as far as eating in nice restaurants, Liberty Tree Tavern is nice. I think the food's pretty good. You can eat style. You probably never get it to Castle at this point.
But there is the new restaurants there, which I don't know that he'll be able to get into at this point, but there is a new counter service over in the by what used to be Toontown, the Casey Jr. area. There's like the Big Tent, I think, is the counter service place there. And then Gaston's Tavern is a counter service place that opened up, as well as the Be Our Guest restaurant, which I've heard is just the best restaurant that they have in all of the Magic Kingdom.
Food-wise and everything?
Yeah, I've heard that the food is fantastic. I've heard that the service is fantastic. The ambiance is fantastic. All of the WDW Today guys raved about it with no exceptions. So I tend to trust those guys. And if all of them liked it, it's hard to think it wasn't great.
Kidding. I love the
ambiance. Wait a minute. Do you have something to say about those gentlemen?
They're a bunch of hacks. No, just kidding. Pretty good. Like even what's the dude that just he moved down to Florida?
That's Matt Hotchberg.
It's not who I'm thinking about. He's got his own.
Oh no, you're talking about the little short guy, Lou Mangiello.
He's a little pixie duskish now and then. But
that's a different show, though. That's
trust. You know, his opinions are pretty close, and I think Matt and those guys. The WDW Today guys have a pretty good.
I think they're good. I think they're balanced. I think one of the only problems with those guys is that they go so often that often people will say, "Hey, how's Sci-Fi Dining?" And they'll be like, "Oh, it's not that great. You know, it's not worth going to at all unless you want a good atmosphere. But who needs that? There's so many other places." And it's like, yeah, because you've been there 50 times. But for somebody that's been there once a year, it's fantastic.
That's, yeah, like here at Disneyland, there are things I would skip that some people would say I would never skip that.
Right.
That's because I would go all the time. But I was going to say that the castle, I love the ambiance, but the last time I was there, I was not that impressed with the food. And I have great memories of that because years ago when you didn't have to worry about reservations, you know, months in advance, we literally went there first thing in the morning. Can we get a reservation for lunch? No, but we have one about 8 o'clock tonight. Okay, fine. Never even thought that we just scheduled ourselves for a fireworks show right out the back of the stained glass windows. And we were right at the windows. We had a great meal and it worked out really nice. Today, you can't do that. It's months in advance to get in that restaurant. I think they've overdone it with all these character dining ones. It's like, get the fracking characters away from me. I would just want to eat, you know. But a lot of people like that kind of stuff. They wouldn't do it if it wasn't selling, because Disney's very much about the marketing. So it works for them. People love it. Nice that they do. I don't mind the characters, but I don't go out of my way to get a character meal because I know it's gonna be crazy. A lot of screaming kids. that kind of a thing, you know. But there are a lot of good places to eat in the Magic Kingdom, I think. Even the Christmas, if you want to just get a buffet, be able to take care of yourself, it's a great place.
Right. Yeah, no, but I mean, John Jay might be traveling with children on a particular day. At that point, sometimes I'd say if you're going to do a character meal, it's sometimes great to do ones at the hotels. But if you're limited on time, you know, you do one early in the morning at one of the resorts, at least, you know, they can get their picture with Winnie the Pooh before you race them from attraction to attraction.
Well, Palace, they it was kind of fun. They did a little line dances with the kids. You know, the kids really love that stuff. Like there's a place over in the Wilderness Lodge that they do interactive stuff with the kids. Get them on, you know, it was like a horse on a stick. What do you call those things? You know, we had them as kids.
You're talking over at, what is that, Artist Point or Whispering?
Whispering Canyon.
Yeah. And they make you ride on the hobby horse.
Yes.
They
get
little races and you drink out of like candy.
Right, and they throw the silverware on the table and tell you to set the, you know, the table.
It's very fun. You just don't have enough time in 4 days to experience all these.
But that's okay, because you know what? I think it's always good to have something for next time. At least, you know, if you get a little taste of a bunch of things, then, you know, you go back.
You know, I had an opportunity to follow up with some job leads in North Carolina. And one of the first things I planned or checked out is, okay, how many hours to drive to Florida? Hour drive. I'm like, oh, okay, that's a little long, but you know, I've driven to San Francisco and that's about a 7 hour drive, so a couple more hours couldn't hurt me. But yeah, there's Fort Wilderness, got some wonderful stuff out there, some shows. But we should get back to the Animal Kingdom. The last park, if you can squeeze all these parks in, I think the kids love it because of all the animals. Everest is a great attraction. It's a little short, but it's a good attraction. If you want to get wet, the Cali River Rapids, a little preachy, a little environmentally, but it's a fun attraction. Now, you may or may not get – when I went on it, I barely got wet. I thought the California Grizzly Rapids was much better, but I've seen other people get totally, you know, wasted on that attraction. You're going to notice little subtle things like there are no lids on your drinks. And there's no straws.
Yes.
Because you're going to like, well, I want a lid. No, we don't have a lid. You want a straw? Well, you don't have straws. You'll find in these places. And I haven't eaten at Yak and Yeti or any of those, but I understand they're really good. Most of the eating there is counter service with the exception of Yak and Yeti, which is a sit down. But short of that, I made this mistake when I took my son out to see. I had this 19-year gap between my last time in Florida and the next time. And I took my son, 12 maybe. And I knew they had Bengal tigers, but we got it kind of in the ears where maybe writing a few things down would help. But I'm a spontaneous guy. Mm-hmm. We took one of those trails. When I got home, I thought, wait, there were supposed to be Bengal tigers out there somewhere. There's a trail that you could almost miss. If let's say you're gonna say, we don't want to go on Cali River Rapids because we don't want to get wet. But if you never walk back there towards the queue, you'll never know there's another wilderness trail, and that's where the Bengal tigers are. And those are cool to see up close. I mean, literally, with a glass between you and them. You're just hoping to see them because you're dinner to them. It's a really cool place to see animals up close. And they've got these big ugly bats, and you know, there's hippos and one of them. I mean, there's a lot of animal stuff to see. The dinosaur attraction, the kids are probably like, who doesn't like dinosaurs? I mean, Indiana Jones overlaid with dinosaurs. And if you might have some fun.
You should say that again, because that is important to note. John, you have ridden the Indiana Jones attraction in Disneyland, right?
Yes.
It is track layout as Indiana Jones, except it's infused with dinosaurs. Now I didn't notice it the first few times. Some other people swore. So one of the times on it, they're like, okay, right here would be Indy pushing the door. Then right here would be this. And okay, they don't have the bridge because they don't have that big open area in the middle. But you know, you still kind of go down. You make the big corner like the snake. You know, you have all these dips and turns, and it's it's exactly the same, but again, dinosaurs. But I was going to say, in the queue, you might find some things you can point out to the kids. And I think it's still there because at one time it was sponsored by McDonald's. Maybe it still is. They've got all these like piping going into these like things that are power, you know, supposed to power the attraction by the whole theme. And it's all the ingredients of like mustard and ketchup, and they're in red, they're in yellow. And it's all subtle things that you can tell, like, oh, that's what ketchup is. Or that's what, you know, the kid's like, oh, wow, that's cool. Usually. But it's a fun attraction. It's a fun. It can be long, but it's not too bad. But everything will be – well, you won't be too hot at this time of year. But it's everything's outside, you know. There is a good show. I'm not sure if you guys are show people, but the Nemo show, not too bad.
It's really good, yeah. The music – I bought the CD after I saw it. The music is fantastic.
But Everest will be one of the big, huge attractions. A lot of stuff to just view and see. Again, there's a place for the kids to wear themselves out. It's a play area with dinosaurs. They can dig in the sand and uncover fossils, things of that nature. It's kind of fun. A lot of good food. I don't think I've had other than the pizza safari, which is, you know, drive-in pizza type crap. it's very good. But, you know, of course, the big attraction is going out and see the big animals on the safari. And it's a rough ride. So if you got cameras, you know, make sure you get a good grip on them. It is not, you know, a smooth ride by any means. And it's purposely bumpy. And make sure the small kids are sitting a little to the inside because it jumps around. But it's a lot of fun. So.
Very good. Well, we've talked about all four parks. John Jay, any questions you have, anything you're wondering about?
Not at this point. I mean,
are you just gassy?
Yeah. No, that was me. Yeah, basically, I feel like I've been there already.
All right. Well, fantastic. Well, Greg, thanks for joining us. I love getting some insight from you.
Yeah, definitely an informative.
Well, I thought I had a hard time getting my, you know, two words in next to Guy. He was very.
I'm always excited talking to you because I always feel like you and I are on the same wavelength. Every time you start to talk, I want to finish your sentence.
I'll have to have you on my show then, and then you and I can destruct the park with some bulldozer segments and some, you know, we'll really go fix them up a little bit. I was thinking about that the other day. You know, I've been on this show so many times. I've got to have you on my show.
You plug your show because this is Imagineering My Way is a fantastic show, and the bulldozer itself you ought to mention.
I do appreciate that. I haven't had one in a while. It's been a while, but I do most of the time I do segments. So I did for a while. I was doing a thing talking about the old Disney News magazine back, you know, that started back in Walt's day and how they used to present the parks and new attractions, things of that. But in general, I have segments like the bulldozer is when I decide what should be tore out, and usually later in that episode, I will have an episode about what I would put in replace of it, and I'll do like a little history segment. I've actually kind of had to look up again. I forgot what some of my segment names are. It's been, you know, it's been a while. So it's kind of like that. So I usually, you know, talk about Disney history, talk about what I'd change. And sometimes I have guests, maybe some interviews. In fact, I do have an interview that I went to Rolly Crump's house and interviewed him. And if you're not familiar with that name, he was responsible for some early design concepts for the Haunted Mansion.
Ooh.
He was involved in Small World. And he was also an animator. Interestingly enough, he designed, if you guys remember this, the Knott's Berry Tales.
Oh, sure. Yeah. No, this was probably the most Disney-like attraction they had at Knott's.
He designed that. He's a great artist. He's done a lot of things. Oh, the Tiki Room. He worked on that. And so went to his house, video interviewed him. So I've been editing it. And I didn't actually conduct the interview, but I shot from my own angle more like a traditional interview where the guy's looking a little off camera. The other guy was kind of doing a big wide shot. So I'm cutting him out and either editing it so it doesn't need any questions asked, or do some green screen where I put myself in asking him the questions to personalize it to my show. And he's getting ready to release a book, and so we were kind of out there for that. So that's coming up. I've been saying that for months, but it is coming up. Just between my school I have to do a video project each week at school, yeah. You know, trying to make money to make a living, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a busy time for me at the moment. That's what my show's about. And then funny you should mention MiceCast earlier. Mike and I were talking. We're actually going to meet tomorrow. We're because that show's on kind of permanent hiatus right now. Because one day we were both working on my car going, you know, if we didn't do another MiceCast for a while, it wouldn't hurt, kill me. He's like, you know, I was thinking the same thing. Well, now we need to start this show up again. There's a lot going on in the parks. So MiceCast 2.0 may be coming out real soon.
I hope so.
Cool. I more video one. So you kind of see us more as a, a desk, point, counterpoint, having a good time, that kind of show. But
where would you put it? If you did it on video, where would you upload it?
But it'd still be available through iTunes and probably on the website, you know, for direct. Who knows? Maybe
I would go with YouTube just because there's so much traffic that goes through YouTube on its own, and then you don't have to pay any fees to be on YouTube.
Right, and then you risk having them take all your videos away.
But you know what? Because they deleted ours and they didn't tell us why, but we could have always re-uploaded them.
Well, see, because a lot of this changed. Like, my other podcast, which was at the Main Street Cinema, which was totally video based versus Imagineering My Way being audio. When I first started to upload them, you couldn't upload a movie longer than 15 minutes. So yeah. They're cut up. And then they had this thing about having a producer status. You had to apply and say you were this and that. And next, now you can monetize. So you got to be careful when you monetize because if you have any copyrighted material, like I do. I get hired to do these cheap little videos where I go to a bar or a strip club or a restaurant and I'll shoot a bunch of film or video and then I'll edit it down to 1 or 2 minutes. It's just little promos and it goes to this website called Hotspots Metro. Mm-hmm. They don't mind if I use copyrighted music. I try not to. I don't want to because, one, they use YouTube as like a host. YouTube's algorithm eventually catches up with that. I uploaded something and their little program recognized that I had music and it wouldn't let me upload it. So I found a guy that had the same issue and he found this thing called Fair Use. And I put the information he had on his site on mine, then it uploaded. I have no problem. Mm-hmm. If we were showing Disney video, I'd say I wouldn't try to monetize it. But if we're just like, Siskel and Ebert, damn straight we can monetize that. Because we're just offering opinions, As long as we watch what kind of inserts we might put or what kind of music we might put on it, we might have to change our intro.
Right. You can't use the Soarin' music.
Right. But I've got friends that can write and produce, and we could, have a custom one made for us if we wanted. So, I think the great thing about YouTube is, even though you might have, let's say I have a website for, Imagineering My Way and at the Main Street Cinema, and I don't host the videos on my own site because I don't want to take up all that bandwidth. I use the link either to Vimeo or to YouTube because YouTube's caught up now. Vimeo had a better high definition. It just showed high def better. But now YouTube is catching up. It'll do 720p. So they're Vimeo, I think, will hold on. Yeah, what you don't find at Vimeo, thank God, is all the, cat running on a treadmill. You don't find
a
perfect area. So all my stuff for my demo reels, things like that, it's all Vimeo. But, if you want to share your funny videos of you spoofing your friend, you put that on YouTube because that's where people sit all day because they have nothing better to do.
Exactly.
Crap.
Videos from the 1980s of kids professing that they won't pee the bed.
Yeah. What?
Why don't you tell them?
It's a video. There's a video from the 1980s of some family that was singing, and the little boy was like, "I'm not going to pee the bed tonight."
Oh,
God. I was trying to show my wife something the other. We were. My Blu-ray machine has a YouTube, you know, link in it. Mm-hmm. We were watching. We were looking up the new Star Trek trailer. Have you seen it?
I've not seen the trailer.
I've heard a lot of things, but I have not actually seen it yet.
So I wanted to show it to my wife, and we're watching it on our big TV, and we see what the top, you know, hits are for the day. One of them is Cat on Treadmill. 3 million hits in one day. The Star Trek videos got, you know, 500,000, you know, which is great. But 3 million people have watched this.
Yeah, this is the gray cat walking next to the woman that's on the treadmill.
One of the 3 million is all mine now. and I'm thinking I wasted, you know, there's 2 minutes of my life I'll never get back. But the Star Trek video, you're sci-fi fans, right? So you got
to. Yeah, no, and not only that, I spoke to Karen Maurer, who is an actress who was on the bridge and is in that. She talked to me about, you know, the making of the film. But I'm dying to see the trailer. I just haven't watched it yet.
I don't know if I'd recommend seeing the American trailer. The Japanese trailer, and it's in English, just with Japanese subtitles, has maybe 5 seconds more, but it's amazing 5 seconds that really potentially reveals something about the film and who the antagonist is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, fantastic. I need to know.
Yeah, because there's arguments. I went to IMDb and there's, you know, the threads. I try not to get into these because they frustrate me. But some people are saying it's Gary Mitchell. Other people are saying it's Khan.
Yeah. Okay.
Watch the last seconds and the Japanese trailer. You're going to go, oh, my God. And then you're going to go, wait, a different person dies this time. Did I just give it? You know, when Spock and Kirk touch through the
chamber. Yes. Needs is the
remember.
Minute.
It might be burst.
Ooh. So we all got to check that out. That's exciting. I need to end just so I can watch this.
Yes, me too.
Yeah. Look up the Japanese trailer and don't even bother with the American trailer. They're exactly the same except for those last few seconds, which are the vital two or three seconds you're going to want to see. And you're going to go, damn. And teaser comes out. So this is just the trailer, and there's going to be a teaser out December 17th. 10 days. Count them.
So. All right. I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it. So you threw a lot of stuff out for us. Hit us with your addresses. I know you're Wedway on Twitter. Where else can people find you?
Twitter, I'm Wedway. Facebook, Imaginary in My Way. You know, on iTunes, Micecast, Imaginary My Way, Half the Main Street Cinema, you'll find me. And I occasionally appear in the Hub. Lately, the timing hasn't been right for me to schedule. Can't miss my bowling night. You know, I'm still holding my big average. Sometimes I schedule that night. So, you know, I'm around.
All right. People can find you. John Jay, wrap it all up and take it home.
All right. And once again, thank you, Greg, for all the information and Guy as well. If you want to email us, we're at two dudes, either the number two or the letter two, dudes@adventureclubpodcast.com.
And thank you to Kathleen Zelch, fantastic guest from Rooster Teeth Productions. Go out and buy their DVD set. Go buy it. Buy two copies. Give one away. Buy three copies. Give one to the poor. Give one to a friend. And give one to yourself.
72 copies. Anyway, we'll be back with another edition of the Adventure Club Podcast. Until then, he's Guy Hutchinson. I'm John Jay. Good night and see you around.